here starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Where do I begin
to tell the story?
I could certainly bore Mike with the stuff I was just telling him in the office about my wife.
I think I'll...
That didn't bore me.
I think I'll wait till later to tell you how things are going with my wife and I.
I empathized with your situation. I totally did.
I mean, things are going fine. It's just...
Good.
You know,
I understand.
Sometimes...
A little tense.
There's too much. Mm. I mean, there's too much information that is given out in just a very small amount of time.
Yeah, and I think that's what life is all about. It's all about timing. It's all about, you know, that's when people get a little overwhelmed, when things come one right after another,
and frankly,
a little overkill.
You know, I can take all the stuff that I told you about in the office that I will get into later, which is just the humdrum every day.
Sure.
You know, being married for 18 years, that stuff. But then when you top that off,
mm-hmm.
with the life insurance guy coming over,
right,
to sign papers, and I have to sit while my wife and this guy are discussing how much money she's going to receive when I die,
ooh, right,
and when they're making it sound like, for all they know, it could be tomorrow.
Sure.
You know, it takes the edge off a little bit.
I understand, and, you know, what you were telling me in the office was simply a series of circumstances that happened to all come at the same time, and I understood completely why you were a little... put off
all of the events today, but I won't waste your time with that right now. I'll wait until later to waste your time with that.
Very good.
Because I have a present that I want to open up,
okay,
on the radio that came from the good people at Portland Volvo.
Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon?
Maine. Portland,
God,
Maine.
God love them. Man, love the Maineites.
Great. Portland, Maine.
Send him a package.
From Scarborough, Maine, it says, Dear Don and Mike, I heard Don talk about fixing his Volvo and thought he might like a few Volvo toys.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't quite sure what to send except another headlight. Now, look what this guy sent me. Robbie, bring the box over. Take a look at this.
That is a big Volvo box that you have.
Huge. Take a look at this.
You can get a Volvo.
It says
Volvo
on the outside of it.
Now, look at this. This is a gigantic sign that lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
That I'm going to put in my garage that says Volvo Service Department. That's fantastic.
That is somebody great. Who's thinking it's got little credit card signs on the one side of
that
it.
That is great. And you know what's so great is that tomorrow I'm going to attempt to put the brake pads on the car tomorrow morning.
That's exciting. And so you'll be able to have your service department light on top of it.
Look at that. It's got the little things on top so you can hang this baby up. This is like, this came out of a real car dealership.
Right. It did. There's the service department in your garage.
Is that fantastic?
That's pretty cool. Who's the guy that sent it to you?
Hold on. Let me get the letter. Wait a minute.
It's got the logo.
John Knight.
Way to go, Johnny.
Oh, wait, he sent me more crap, too.
I love Maine. Love those people up there.
Sent me a headlight.
Well, you have a headlight.
No, he sent me an extra one for the next time it busts.
There you go.
Great.
And he sent me, what are these? Gloves. Oh, I guess they're gloves to work on the car with.
Let me see.
Are they driving gloves or working gloves?
No, they're working gloves. Look at, they're like, they're plastic gloves, like to work on the car with.
I guess that's what the guys use. Rob, is the light working?
No, it doesn't seem to work.
What light?
Rob was plugging your light in to
the
see
light
if it worked.
Sign.
Oh.
It did not light up.
Hmm. Oh, it did not light up?
No, maybe that's why I parted with it.
Oh.
Maybe if you put that bulb in there.
Does it have a bulb, Rob?
No, this is a bulb for my car. the H7.
Doesn't have a switch on it or anything?
I bet it has a switch on it. I bet it just doesn't instantly go on when you plug it in. Oh, what did you do?
I think I figured it out.
What?
Listen to this. I think there is a bulb in it.
Yeah.
In pieces.
That's all right. It. Well, you know what? It won't light up.
Well, you know what? We've got fluorescent lights here. Undo the back of it and put a real bulb in it.
Sure. No, don't worry about it.
It's got like 60 screws.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll just take it home. Just hang it up.
Give it to Wendell. He can take care of that in 2 minutes.
That's right.
It's true.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Why don't you give that to Wendell and
Wendell
ask him
loves
to fix
jobs.
That.
He loves projects like that.
Ask him to fix that for me. I want to thank the good people at Portland Volvo. That is a wonderful sign that I will hang in my garage.
That's terrific, and you know how I feel about people up in Maine. I think that's good folks. They got their thinking caps on.
That's pretty nice. A big giant box that says Volvo on it.
Yo, Virgil!
Now, that is funny.
I had that disc jockey. He's talking about his car. He likes to work on it. Why don't you give him that old sign we don't need in the garage anymore?
Send that's good. I cannot wait to get home and do that.
Say that. Yeah, that one that we have in the back room that says service department, just put that on the, you know, give that to the UPS man. Send it right down to him.
Oh, no, I did forget to tell you about in the office something else that happened to me at home today.
Yes.
That we also had the wonderful experience of Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our house today. And real upscale Jehovah's Witnesses, they're driving a Lexus. Now, really, shouldn't Jehovah's Witnesses be like taking those, like a rickshaw around or something? Or shouldn't they be on horseback or something?
Absolutely not. No. I was on a farm full of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we went to a picnic for a lady that used to babysit for my kids, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And we went out there, and we were on the farm of this huge, huge farm. I mean, this guy had everything. He had dump trucks. He had acres and acres of land. He had this huge house, and he was extremely wealthy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, I'm sure it was one of my wife's friends. I saw this nice Lexus pulling up. Brand new Lexus.
Be surprised. There are many that they live among us.
Well,
hey, hi, honey.
Well, hi. We're just talking to Mom.
To your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice happenstance that is.
Well, what a surprise.
I was just talking about those freaking Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they were very pleasant people. Now, you don't have to be hostile.
No, I wasn't hostile because I didn't talk to them.
However, and I tried to spare them, because they left off their literature, which actually I would read because I'm curious about all different types of religions, and
stay away.
I know, then they started to say, and they said, well, we'll come back and discuss it with you, and I'm thinking to myself, you're lucky you met me at the door.
Anybody that wants to come to my house to try to sell me on religion, forget about that.
If you don't want to worry about celebrating Christmas, though, it's a good religion to be a part. They don't celebrate the holidays
or birthdays.
It
or birthdays.
For those.
Well, I could never do that then.
No birthdays.
I love
Christmas.
Love Christmas. I love birthdays.
No presents.
But Mike, it would be handy for you because you wouldn't have to make those homemade cards and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be caught by surprise.
Yeah, I know. And are you? I never got you your card, did I?
No, I think you were like 3 years in arrears.
I gave Rob a beautiful mobile. On his
mobile with Mike's publicity photo. It was all chopped up.
It was lovely. Rob collects them, you know.
What a pain in the ass are these people. They come pulling up to the door. I was positive with some of my wife's, society friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, honey, it's for you. It's
because
a Lexus.
They were driving a big, expensive car, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the only person here. I've had a house full of them. I've entertained a whole table full of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right. It was okay.
We had a great time.
Good.
I was able to make a Jehovah's Witness joke. And it was, we had a woman work for us for a long time, and there was never any, she understood. I put the ground rules down right away that, your religion is your religion. I respect it.
I find them to be very intrusive. I don't like them coming to the door and
they're
trying to peddle their voodoo.
I forgot what they call it. There's a name for it, too, when they're doing that. It's
witnessing?
Not voodoo. It's not witnessing. It's,
no, I had it right.
Where
it's
they
voodoo.
Go, where they go door to door. They're all obligated to do a certain
peddling.
Number of hours of peddling.
They're peddlers. That's what they are.
They're supposed to do a number of hours.
Isn't it recruiting for Satan?
No, Rob, that is incorrect.
Hey, did anybody watch that movie last night? The movie with Kate Jackson?
Oh, Aaron Spelling's movie.
About what was it? It was Girls of Satan or something like that?
No, I didn't see that.
It was Satan's School for Girls.
That was it.
Aaron Spelling's remake of the 1974 Aaron Spelling movie.
It was on Channel 7 last night. It wasn't bad.
Was it all about Jehovah's Witnesses? Is that what it was about?
No, I just turned it on for a second and saw Kate Jackson. And there was no one talking like in the scary exorcist voice. I turned it right off.
And she was in the original. She was one of the girls in the original.
Right.
So, honey, how did you enjoy that meeting today with the insurance guy? You love talking about my impending death, don't you?
You know what? I thought I would make you feel better because he was telling me the one way in which we could get richer and richer as you hung on to your life. And then, we really hit the jackpot when you ended up kicking the bucket. And I said, we don't have to have that figure going up and up and up because...
It sounded very discerning to sit there and listen to Frida and this guy, this insurance guy, Ron. The two of them are making happy, snappy conversation back and forth about... Now, if he was to die now, you would get this much. But if he manages to hang on somehow for 10 more years, you'll get this month.
It's amazing. It freaks me out.
And once... If he get... If... And everything was... Had before... If... If he gets to this old, you'll get this much.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there.
I hope you're proud of me, because I said, look, I don't want to get rich off his death, you know.
No, and you did say that, but you did want to make sure that the house would be paid off.
I just wanted to be able to keep my same lifestyle.
When I die, you can understand why I would find that just
absolutely
tad insulting.
You just want to keep your same lifestyle, but you certainly don't want to be wealthy.
Right, I don't want it to really hurt my rich.
Touché.
My routine too much.
Sure,
I imagine that week I will be inconvenienced.
And this morning, oh Christ, did we go through it this morning? About, you know, we have not even gone up to New York yet to do the show.
Plans.
We have not even gone to New York yet to do the show from WNEW. We'll start doing that in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last night when we're going to bed, she's got a book, Where to Live in New York. And she's looking through this book, and she says to me, you know what might be good if we just sublet an apartment in New York?
I just finished emailing somebody on that, you know.
And I said last night, because I just wanted it to go away, I said, you know what, we can discuss this another time. Well, little did I know that another time was going to be 8 hours later.
Sure.
This morning when I came down for breakfast, when the first thing, again, you know, and why you like doing this, before I've had a chance to wake up or have any coffee, I don't know. It was like I come downstairs, and she is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she goes, hey, we're going to sublet an apartment in New York. And I said, I'm going up there 2 days a week. You and Bart are going to like come up on the occasional week. I don't want an apartment in New York. And we went through a whole big, big drawn-out scene this morning about this.
But, you know, I was thinking, Boo, to your credit and my credit, that we had a heated discussion, and we ended it by reaching a compromise and hugging, and I thought, what a good lesson for our son on how to resolve a conflict and come to a common ground.
Yeah, and I'd like to just point out that the compromise we reached was that I said, you know what, I've not even gone up there yet to start this new job.
Right.
How about letting me get up there and let me start the job before you halfway move us to New York?
And I will just research it and get everything squared away, which is the way it works in our family, because I'm the one who looks into researching. And
you sublet an apartment. How does that pay for itself if you're going to be up there 2 days a week?
Well, because to begin with, you know, it's a lot less expensive than if you had a hotel room every night, and you don't have to cook as much because it has a kitchen and everything, and you just sublet it for a month, and it's kind of...
I'm hearing this morning, and I'm thinking, I have not even been up there. Mm. I mean, I know the station's in Midtown Manhattan, but beyond that, I don't even know where the station is.
Oh, I know where it is, and I've...
I know! What did I tell you, Mike? She got a goddamn map in New York.
Man, I'd love to know where it is. Where is it?
I've got the map on my Palm Pilot, so I won't get lost.
It sounds to me like what I'm hearing here is that your wife's going to be moving full time
to New York.
No, I'm just doing a little, I think it's exciting, maybe for a month or something, a vacation.
Oh, honey, see, that for me it's a job, for you it's a vacation.
Well, like I was talking with Ross Stevens today, and we were talking about you and Ken, you guys have to work, but other than that...
That's dangerous.
You know,
that's dangerous when Ross calls.
I mean, somebody has to earn the living, and we understand that, and we respect you for it. But don't get in our way. You know, I'd like to go to New York for a few weeks. I think it would be exciting.
I understand. Just, you know, I mean, you know, and you'd also like to go to Spain this summer.
Well,
and then you'd like me to also pay for your mother to go to Spain.
Let me see if I get this right, Freddie. You're going to be living in New York?
Well, not full-time. Not full-time, but I will go up there.
You know what
will
probably end up happening? She will probably end up getting a goddamn apartment in New York, and I will be end up staying in whatever the crappy CBS Trade Hotel is.
No, you can come and stay with me if I don't have, like, friends up there, because, you know, most of my girlfriends live.
It was just too much today.
I didn't even go into the other idea that we could share an apartment with the O'Meara.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
And
honey,
then we could use it alternately.
Honey, slow down.
Okay, well, these
slow
are...
Slow down. You know what? We've not even been up there to do one show from New York.
She's very excited.
I know she is. She's excited that I'm soon going to die and she's going to get rich.
Yeah.
She's excited that apparently I'm paying for her to go to Spain this summer with her mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's excited that we're going to be subletting an apartment in New York when I haven't even been to New York yet.
Well, you know, the good thing about that is the New York real estate prices. They're very reasonable.
Oh, and then that's the other thing she was telling me. She was looking at prices. And I said, do you realize what kind of crack house we're going to be living in for the money you're talking about?
No, Yogi Bear, I mean, if you're talking about the price of a hotel, you think that they're reasonable in New York?
No, but I think it would be more reasonable if we're going to New York for 2 days a week.
Yeah,
I think it would be more reasonable to stay in a hotel than to rent an apartment.
You will be there 2 days a week, but I was thinking maybe taking a longer weekend there or being there. You know, I was
imagine how great it must be to be you. How great it must be to be you.
It is good.
Life is an adventure for you. Jesus.
I enjoy my life.
You've got to get an apartment in New York.
But I told you in my last life.
Go to Spain. I'm going to buy some more insurance and pray to God that I die so that you'll be even richer.
In my last life, I had a very hard time, and I think it's just my karma come around this
life. Okay. I don't want to upset you here, but I'm going to say this to your wife, because I think if she was to do this, it would be, I know how Frida operates, and Frida would probably gather quite a bit of information about, you know, what to do, how to live, you know, where to go, the transportation situation. She would probably be a very good person to, like, sorry about that.
Come on, no, do not.
I just, it would be a nice,
No.
I've got all kinds of information already, Mike, and I'd be happy to share it with you and your wife. I mean, I've got all kinds
Christ.
Of now, my
welcome
husband
to my nightmare. Honey, for the last time, I have not even been inside the radio station yet.
That's fine.
How about, let me get up there.
You've made Rob nervous. He just dropped an entire tray of cards.
Let me get up there. Let me start doing the job up there before you move us to New York.
I'll just keep all my little thoughts to myself.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was bubbling over with them last night. I usually don't try not to throw all this at you. I know that you don't react well, but this has been stewing for since you.
I know, but do you understand my position, right? Like we discussed this morning,
right.
You're putting the cart ahead of the horse. That you got to let me get up there and start the job first.
I'm throwing too much at you, and you've got a lot. You've got a lot on your plate, and you've got a lot of other stuff to concentrate on. So you just let me handle this and handle your thing. And, we'll
and do me a favor, Frida, if you can. Don't be speaking to my wife for about another 2 months or so.
I'll get it all figured out before I start.
She's like a big Girl Scout troop leader.
She is.
She's got everybody organized.
We'll be in the same building.
We'll all be in the same building. You know, we get a special block deal on apartments.
The last time I checked, the hotel was fine with me.
Well, the hotel's fine, yeah.
But really, you won't like a hotel.
Well, the company's going to pay for the hotel.
Yeah, but see, my idea this morning, which we won't even.
Oh no! Okay, no. This is what put me over the edge. Hold on. Let me announce. This is what she said. She says, "I want you today." Now she's telling me what to do. She says, "I want you to call Ken." And I want you to ask Ken if he will subsidize us renting an apartment in New York.
Here was my idea.
And I said, honey,
no.
The hotel that the company will put us up in New York, it's called a trade. The hotel runs commercials, and the station doesn't have to pay for the room. I'll be damned if I'm going to call Ken up and say, hey, Ken, listen, my wife would really love to spend a couple of days in New York. How about you go halvesies on the rent on an apartment? He won't tell me to go F myself.
No, you see, you didn't even let me. That's why I was up. I shouldn't have sprung it all.
She said she wanted to call Ken, and then I said, don't call Ken. I didn't want my wife calling the general manager. She said, okay, I'll call Jeremy. I said, I don't want my wife.
Not that I'm getting nervous or anything, but we're going up there 2 days a week.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, right?
Just double checking.
No, we don't want to move. I don't want to move.
2 days a week, Mike.
No. I just want to take a summer vacation.
You'd like to spend the summer in New York.
You are taking a summer vacation. I am paying for you and your mother to go to Spain.
Okay, well, that's just 1 week. There's like 9 weeks during the summer.
It is just crystallized. I understand exactly what she's doing. She's planning her summer itinerary.
That's right.
You know, that's fine. Have a wonderful summer. Just don't call my boss. Don't call my program director, and let me please just get started there before you start this stuff.
All right.
Please.
I'll just keep it to I've got the wheels in motion, but don't you worry about a thing.
That's where it boiled over today, where she said, I want you to ask Ken if he would subsidize this.
All right,
and
I will drop this, but you're misquoting me. I thought if he was going to have to pay for a hotel.
Didn't I tell you today it's a trade?
Yes, but you didn't let me finish. That there are these companies that do trade similar, and I didn't mean to have the whole thing paid for. I just meant if it's a trade for, say, X amount of dollars, whatever 2 nights in a hotel would be, to apply it to something else.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's why I want my wife calling the general manager with that question.
I did double check one thing. The hotel that we have up there for our digs, you know, where
yeah.
Ken stays and where Jeremy stays and where we will be staying, is very, very luxurious. I understand it doesn't even have an alarm clock.
I told her already that it's an S-hole, and I said that when she and Bart want to come up to New York, I would just pay to have a stay at a better hotel when they're there, mm-hmm. and then otherwise I would stay, you know, in the crack house that the radio station's putting
right.
us up in. You know, that's fine with me.
Right.
Honey, let's just take it one step at a time.
All right, my boo-boo. Okay. I'll just work the women's network.
All right, then, whatever that means. Just don't...
That means I chatted with Mrs. Ken, and I can chat with Mrs. O'Mara,
oh,
and I can...
Oh, God.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, no.
Okay. Whatever. All right, I love you.
All right, goodbye.
Hey, how about some love?
No, I do love you.
Thank you.
I love you very much.
I love you, too.
All right.
Just calm down.
I'm sorry.
Calm down. Take a deep breath. Do some of that feng shui. Calm down.
I'm sorry.
Get in the lotus position.
Stick there. Okay.
Okay?
Everything's fine.
Too much coming at me today. I know.
You don't handle change well anyway.
Too much. We got to get an apartment in New York. You got to die soon so I get all this money.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to Spain. My mother's got to go to Spain. You got to get a deal on my sister getting her eyes done with a laser surgery.
Sure.
I'm handling everything. Don't you worry about it.
It's just a lot of stuff in one day.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that's kind of what you were dealing with this morning.
That's exactly what I told you up in the office.
That's interesting.
And all of these things happened one right after the other today.
Oh, boy.
Well, first it was this argument.
She's a dynamo, that woman of yours.
Not really an argument. This heated discussion about getting an apartment in New York and calling Ken.
Right.
Then it was, oh, listen, my sister and niece need to have their eyes done, need to have this laser surgery.
They want that done in New York?
No. So they want it done here, but they want a discount.
Okay.
So can you handle that? Can you get them a discount? Then it was, oh, yes, and my mother and I would like to go to Spain. And then it was, now the guy's coming over, and he's going to talk about when you die, about how rich we're going to get when you die. And then the freaking Jehovah's Witnesses came over. And it was just,
God.
You know what I mean? Just
I do know what you mean.
Just too much.
A lot of times I don't know what you mean, but I think I do know what you mean.
It's way too much.
Could have been a scene from Scanners.
Just stop it. Yeah, my head's about to explode. I'm actually now, at this point, I'm looking forward to going to Wichita.
Oh, my.
Okay. Let that tell you how desperate I am. I'm looking forward to spending two nights in the metropolis of Wichita, Kansas.
It's a happening town. Buzz will tell you that. He was raised there.
Right.
You know, it's happening. Wichita is happening, and we're coming to Wichita, and I'll tell you, I could not be happier.
Right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Where is the trust in this house?
When I get confirmed, I'm going to be a man. So how come I can't drive?
Oh, you really want to get into this, huh? Who was that man that we had to pick up at camp last year for bedwetting?
That was the year before last.
You could have killed those girls.
Now, that would have been interesting.
What? What did you just say?
Death just shows the ultimate absurdity of life.
What is this? Are you trying to get me to lose my temper because I'm about to put you through that goddamn window?
See? That's what I mean. Life is absurd.
Don't say that! God forgive you!
There is no God.
Hey! The Don and Mike Show! It's time to roll back the stone and let the comedy rise again. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, about your Duke?
And your
fame?
No, the thing is, this poison ivy that I got a week ago, Friday, is hanging in there. And I was on, like, medication for it because my left eye was closed. And, with hygiene, I've got it on this hand right here. You can see it's really, really, you got to look at it close, but it's really bad.
And don't get it by me. I can see it.
See that?
Yeah.
See that? Look at that finger. I can't even bend that finger because it's so, like, grody with that.
You know what it looks
crap.
Like?
What? Leprosy.
It looks like the AIDS.
Everything looks like AIDS. Thank you, though. Thank you for that.
Looks like you got finger AIDS.
Thank you for that kind word. So I got this stuff. My eyes are still, as you can see, they're not as bad as they were.
About your eyes?
What?
Looks like you got the AIDS.
Yeah.
You got the AIDS eyes.
Thank you. But you see right here where I got the red? That's where it was bubbled up and stuff. And then one of my wife's friends last night, during the Tupperware party, told me to put bleach on it. So I put bleach on it, and it burned and dried it out. But now it's like, I mean.
Now, you mean you just went and got straight
Clorox bleach?
Well, yeah, they said put a little, dab a little bleach on it.
And isn't that like putting acid on your face?
It makes it go away.
Isn't the like?
Well, I don't think I burned my face. It's just a little red.
It's like stronger than lye soap. It would like if
well, that's why
linger.
That's why it makes it go away. And I dipped my fingers in it today.
You dipped your fingers in Clorox bleach?
I took a paper towel and I turned the Clorox bleach onto the paper towel and then wrapped the paper towel around my fingers and it stopped the itching as
sure.
well.
And then you saw bone.
And then, yeah. like last night. Right before I was going to bed, I got a new computer this weekend. It's just this unbelievable turbocharged, super deluxe, gigabyte thing. Yeah. And I got it because, like, I always buy computers to play games on it.
Of course.
And it's just the greatest. But as I was sitting there, I was kind of shifting back and forth, and I noticed an itchiness coming from the eye that did not feel like your normal eye itchiness. And yesterday was not a good day.
You know what? All that says to me is the old pattern. It must have been hand to anus.
No, what it was seriously, I know you would like to think that during the course of a normal day, I would reach down my pants and probe my duke with my fingers, but that is not true. However, in the shower today, as I was lathering up, what I do is I wash my hair, and with the lather, I wash my chest, and then I go down to the nether regions, and I bend from the waist and go back there to do proper hygiene.
Right.
You wash yourself.
However, don't you use a loofah?
I don't use a loofah. Leave a loofah behind for that.
You think you're sniffing if you do.
I don't sniff my duke. I clean back there, and I don't sniff the duke. But I do put this hand, and I wasn't sure until I took the shower today. You know, it's like if somebody asks you what hand you use to, you know, achieve pleasure.
The jerk one.
You have to think about it, right? And you have to actually. So
right.
I go into the right hand
right
for
hand
me too.
To make, yeah.
So I left hand for the maintenance that I do in the shower. So I go into the shower today thinking that, you know, I maybe have done this, and I realized as soon as I start to do it, yes, it's the left hand, and I pulled off of that and you know decided to just take a whole different. You know, the circuitous route and go around, you know, back with my right hand.
But I think, also
doing that, I believe that I can't tell you right now because right now.
Yeah, poison ivy in your butt.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
In your butt cheeks?
No. No, if I have it, it is right on the starfish.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because that's where the itch is coming from, almost from the inside.
But the starfish, that means you're really probing.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, that probably, maybe, well, I
for a thorough
when
clean.
When I do a thorough cleaning, I get
well, then you are putting a finger up there.
No, not up there. Just, I mean, you know, but I definitely, there's contact with the starfish. Absolutely. But, I mean, everybody should do that to maintain proper hygiene.
I'd rather have a dirty duke than bring it myself.
And
there.
That is where we part company. I do not like the dirty duke. I like it squeaky clean down there.
Like the first time. You take a dump, it's all messy anyway.
Yeah, but I normally don't do that. That's the shower comes after that.
You take a dump later in the day. Then.
On certain days, but most of the time, if the regular one, the one that's regular as rain, normally takes place in the morning, and rarely do I do two a day. Sometimes I do, if this condition is apparent. So with that said, I thought that maybe it was going to get worse, and now the itching has gone away, so I'm thinking perhaps... Maybe there's an outside chance that it was just the general itching, which happens occasionally, and I don't know. I'll keep you advised, but I'm not, because there's really no way to check it. Really, I'm not going to get a mirror and squat over a mirror or anything. I'm not going to
have your wife take a look.
She doesn't want it. She really, you know what? My wife, who normally is very, very sympathetic to any kind of malady I have. If I've got a back problem, you know, if I've got a migraine headache, she is usually right there. She has been very frightened by the poison ivy.
Sure.
She, and that's another thing that's driving me nuts. My, you know, I'm not hugging my kids because I don't want my kids to come near me with the poison ivy. My wife really doesn't want to have anything to do with me because I look like this. Look at, I mean, it's just like, ah!
You're puffy. It's puffy, and the bags under my eyes. I'm wondering now whether this is like going to be a permanent state, because I mean, it's tough to see, and it's like in the it's all down my cheeks where I put the bleach on it, and that kind of burned my skin. Oh. Now I've got that little mottled, like, you know, Peter O'Toole look.
I think that was a mistake. Putting the bleach on your face was a mistake.
They said it would go away, and I've got other stuff that's like this poison ivy stuff, and I've got stuff that you use in the shower that's a poison ivy cleanser that you use, and I put that on, and you know, that's just like an oil, so it's not really a cleanser.
Does
it
hurt?
It sucks. It hurts bad.
I mean, does it hurt?
No.
Good.
No, that's important. It doesn't, and, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, it's starting to itch again.
It would have been a first, because, like Don was starting to say a minute ago, normally stuff spreads from the Duke to the eye via your hand, and this would have been just the opposite way.
Yeah.
Which never happened.
Well, it's my phabus, which is, you know, the cheek, the most painful part of this right now is right here. On both my cheeks right here. And I'm not talking about my butt cheeks. I'm talking about the... I'm pointing to my facial area.
He's pointing to his ass.
No, I'm not.
Stop. Don't. Totally bent over pointing at his ass.
You just... I mean, you really... You want to... You resist the urge, because right now what I want to do is just scratch my face, and I'm not going to do that. My face! And then this culminated yesterday. I think I've been very difficult to live with. And in the Price Club yesterday, my wife finally got fed up with me, because I was Johnny Complainatory because everybody went to Costco yesterday. I love Costco when it's empty, and it's the opposite when it's crowded. When it's crowded, I hate that convention of dumbasses more than anything else in the world, with people just going, hey, you know, that to me is right. You want to know what's wrong with America, why we are ripe for an invasion? You go to Costco on a Sunday with everybody just going, and everybody like just dumbass walking up and down the aisles.
Any country could take over this nation if they handed out food samples.
Absolutely.
That's all they need to do.
And you know, when I have my little daughters there that want the little fruit cup,
sure,
and they have to wade through the guy with the pendulated stomach.
My doctor,
I'll tear your tongue out by the roots. But so I was complaining, and I think rather vigorously. And when I get into that complain mode, I get to a point where my wife just can't stand it anymore. And when it gets into, it goes from in the Costco, then the complaint fans out to the area that we live in, and then I make a comment. And then I made the comment yesterday, well, you grew up in this area, so you're used to this, and that was it. That's when it just went over the top. You know,
because you were looping her into the problem.
You know, that wasn't you speaking, though. That was your
that was guess. The poison ivy. That was my Duke.
Not mad at her.
I'm mad at the poison ivy.
At the Duke.
And she was frustrated, and rightly so. I understand that she was frustrated, and I was, because I start the complaining on a real small level, like, can that lady walk any faster? Look at the crowds here. We can't go. Okay, this is great. Let's have a 6-mile long line so the kids can't get their fruit cup.
What
you're
really thinking is, God, my ass itches.
I was miserable, and you know what? And people in the Costco, more than anything, when you go to the Price Club, what do? You go. Most people don't go in there with like a set itinerary of what they're going to get. They do what everybody else does. Wander. You know, how many times can you see the same God-awful crock pot and just walk by and go, and I hadn't been there in a while, and I would have enjoyed it, but I was not enjoying it. Yeah. And then we went...
Your angry ass was ruining it.
So I come out of the Costco, and we're already having this discussion. She's already mad at me, and we go to Checkers to get Sunday dinner.
Oh, that would be good when you have an ass that's burning. Mm-hmm. That's good. Get some Checkers food.
So I got Checkers food. I got my Checkers food in the drive-thru. And then, because I was using my hand that I normally don't use to drink my beverage, and I took a couple of bites of the fries, and then when I went to the beverage, it just slipped, and I got a large size cherry Coke, regular cherry Coke, because I wasn't going to go with a diet because I'm feeling so poorly, and I was in such a bad mood. And the people inside did not give us a lid. Or a straw. No, they gave us a lid. They didn't give us a straw. So I lifted the lid up, and then when I went to do it, it started to slide, so I had to pinch it, and I pinched it, and the cherry Coke, regular syrup cherry Coke, went all over everything.
It felt good in your ass, though, I bet.
And it didn't feel any good, no. And it went into the fries, too, which immediately turned the fries into oatmeal. And, you know, it just... And then we got home, and then I took the kids out for dinner later on that night, and Laura had a Tupperware party. And I went to bed.
And you put bleach on your face.
And I put bleach on my face, and I think maybe it'll work, but it's now I can't tell whether this is poison ivy or whether I've got a third-degree burn on my face.
You know what, Rob? I'm looking here in my briefcase during the show. I'm trying to find that medical hotline. I can't find it. Will you look that up? I'd love to call and ask about...
Poison ivy and the Duke?
Yeah.
But I don't know whether it's 100% sure. I would think that I'd be in a far greater amount of discomfort if I really had it.
If you got it on that finger, on your AIDS finger?
Yeah, see, that was the confirmation today. Because when I did that, I did it as an experiment. I said, do I? Yes, I do that.
Yes.
With that finger.
Yes, you do.
These two.
You finger your Duke.
These two fingers right here are the cleaning fingers.
That's so gross to me.
And then I wash my hands, and then I wash my hands after I do that. I scrub my hands.
Of course.
And then proceed with the rest of my routine. I use a non-alcoholic facial scrub, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Do you like Huey Lewis?
When you clean your Duke,
uh-huh.
Do you stick your fingers in there?
Not inside, no, but I, like Mike, I do touch the area, yes. You have to clean it.
Gross.
You've never touched your... How do you clean yourself?
I use the loofah.
You stick a loofah down there?
Yeah.
Doesn't it hurt?
No.
A loofah is an abrasive thing.
Soft. My wife's got a real soft one.
And then...
And she doesn't even know it's the same one that she uses later.
That's what I was concerned about, is how do you clean the loofah then?
Well,
I mean, you do clean the loofah after that.
I try to remember to.
Okay.
Well, see, it doesn't bother me because I only use it on my ass.
I see.
Other than that, I just use a washcloth.
I use my hands. I use a face cloth that I you know, launder afterwards. I do a lot of things with my routine.
That's very
good. Then
gay,
I put
though.
An ice pack. My eyes are puffy. I put an ice pack on while I do my stomach crunches.
Hold on, Rob, write me a note. We need to break. Rob, do you bring it for your Duke?
No.
Will you clean it?
No.
What do?
I wash it usually with a washcloth.
Washcloth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, these two, they go all the way to the starfish.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
Gay.
No, there's nothing gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hygiene is important.
But obviously not the right thing to do when you have poison ivy on either now.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
All right. I love you guys.
Thank you. Love you.
I was just calling up for the Black History.
Black History Month today requires no phone calls.
Really?
No phone calls. But I'm glad that you're here celebrating Black History. Say hello to Buzz, who will be participating in today's tribute to Black History Month.
What's going on, Buzz?
Happy Black History Month, my brother.
Now, thank you for the call. Actually, what it is, Buzz, it's a,
yes.
A quiz.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
What we're going to do is put 60 seconds on our Say It Loud and Black and Proud clock.
Okay.
As we salute Black History Month.
Yes.
Joe Ardenjury, you ready with the timer?
Yes.
I'm going to offer up some what I consider to be rather stereotypical occupations for blacks.
All right.
And Buzz, I'd like you in 60 seconds to come up with as many as possible. Are you ready? Names.
Names of...
For instance, I'll throw out a profession.
All right.
And you tell me as many blacks as you know in that profession.
Okay, I'll do what I can. And as everyone knows, I'm weak in the area of sports.
Welcome to Black History Month.
But again,
no need to qualify, Buzz.
Right. But again,
right.
Let's celebrate Black History Month. Put 60 seconds on the clock.
Uh-huh.
Buzz, please name every black NBA player you can. Basketball, National Basketball Association.
Current or past?
Yes.
Also, Jason Williams, the first to come to mind, unfortunately, because of the news. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, G.I., and beyond that, I really don't know.
You got to make a little more.
Let's give him time.
A little more time, right. Buzz.
Yeah, you can give me all the time you want, but I can't really think
of
any
other. You got MJ.
African-American basketball
player. Jason Williams.
Uh-huh.
You got Michael Jordan.
Right, Magic Johnson.
You already had MJ, I said, about Michael Jordan. You have Magic Johnson.
No hints, Mike.
I'm not giving him hints.
Again, this is simply...
I'm letting him know who he's named so
far. Formerly Dennis Rodman.
Okay, that's four.
Right. That's
welcome
four.
To our continuing tribute to Black History Month.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Buzz.
Wow. Take your time, Buzz. You've got four. We need six more.
You're shocked that I don't know any other professional sports?
Well, we'd actually like you to maybe just...
Yeah.
See if you can get something in the deep recesses.
All right.
I mean, if you think about it, you think for, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, listen. I mean, I think even, no, I know you're a hetero, but even the biggest faggot knows Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I should have thought of him, of course.
Kobe.
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson, right. Dikembe Mutombo.
Now that you give me the name.
Marcus Camby.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Karl Malone.
NBA.
Dominique Williams.
Right.
Virtually all black guys. Okay, let's reset the clock.
Wilkins.
Joe, Dominique Wilkins. Joe, is the clock reset?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Buzz.
Yes.
As we continue our tribute to Black History Month,
mm-hmm.
Get the music reset here.
And thank you for your participation in Black History Month.
Oh, thank you for the honor.
Put your pants up. Don't worry, we're all going to be doing a different tribute to Black History Month.
Yes, very good. Mine will be most humiliating.
No, I don't think so. I think Lisa's will be.
Okay.
Let me find out all the black guys she's been to bed with.
Very good.
Just the famous ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought we were going to get all of them.
About 60 seconds on the big clock.
Yeah.
Please name all of the black NFL players you can in 60 seconds. Go.
Ooh, wow. Walter Payton, Refrigerator Perry, William. I just don't know. As everyone knew before we even started this quiz, I don't follow sports.
I guess
I don't
you followed it back in the Chicago Bears days.
I lived in Chicago in 85 when the Bears were at their hottest, and people who didn't like sports followed them.
You're at my house for the Super Bowl.
You have two. You have two now that you've named. We need eight more.
You're at my house for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Right.
There's lots of black guys on the Rams. You watched the game with me.
No, I really didn't.
There were lots of black guys.
I was at the party. I didn't watch the game.
For the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true, but
lots of famous black quarterbacks.
Didn't watch the game.
Famous Redskins.
Yeah, how about Redskins? How about famous former Redskins?
Daryl Green.
What was that?
Daryl Grant.
Daryl Grant?
That counts, yes.
You're making progress. You have four.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's about what we expected, I think.
No,
I think we're
surprised. Daryl Grant, think Redskins.
I appreciate
it. Oh, I'm sorry, you're all out of time. You named Walter Payton, Refrigerator Perry,
mm-hmm.
Daryl Green, and Daryl Grant. Yeah. Those were the the only four black football players you came up with.
We're going to move
all great players.
Move a little bit more into Buzz's wheelhouse now.
Oh, good.
Buzz?
Yes.
In 60 seconds,
mm-hmm.
as we continue our tribute to Black History Month,
mm-hmm.
please name your top 10 black actors.
Black actors.
Go.
Go. Number one, Andre Brower, my favorite. Yaphet Kotto from Homicide: Life on the Street. Oh, man. I'm trying to bring them to mind quickly. Denzel Washington, of course.
Right. That's three.
Right. Of course it is.
We're looking for seven more.
I'm not sure I can think of 10 white actors in 60 seconds.
Right.
I'll give you that quiz in a moment.
All right. I don't know. I mean, actors and actresses, Cicely Tyson.
It's
got to be
men.
Yeah.
All
right.
You had Andre Brower.
No. He's still on time. I just buzzed him on Cicely Tyson.
I see. All right. You have three. We're looking for seven more.
Okay.
Can be from, you know, from history.
Any era.
Aren't many on Friends, are there?
No,
and you think feature films.
Okay.
Sorry. You're out of time.
He had who?
He had Andre Brower, Yaphet Kotto, and Denzel Washington.
So he had two out of the three are on the same TV show, right?
They were at one time, yes. Eventually, Andre Brower had his
great,
own show.
You know, today Morgan Freeman would come to mind.
Right.
Will Smith?
Will Smith, absolutely.
Sidney Poitier,
the great actor.
Bill Cosby.
I don't work well like this under pressure.
Okay.
Yeah. Wesley Snipes.
I'm really going to toss you a softball choice. Now.
Ron Glass.
Right. Damon Wayans.
The guy from Barney Miller.
Yeah,
and you would have been saved with
Bernie Mac.
Oh, the great Bernie Mac.
And incidentally, I watched the Bernie Mac show last night.
It's fracturingly funny.
He had hemorrhoids, and I swear to God, I have never laughed as hard at a show that doesn't have a laugh track as I laughed at the Bernie Mac show last
Very
night.
Good.
All right, Buzz, here you go.
Okay.
Now, this one you should ace. My money is on you this time, Buzz.
Okay, thanks.
Please, Buzz, name your favorite top 10 black musicians. Go.
First of all, first choice, Lenny Kravitz. I liked Rick James before he went insane. You got to mention James Brown, of course. Oh, man. You're talking about my favorites, or you just want...
We have three. We'd be looking for seven more.
You'd be looking, yeah, but my favorites
I'm
are...
Just answer. Just come up with ten.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not good at thinking of names under pressure. It's just not what
kind
I
of the
do.
Idea for the bit was born around that.
Yeah, I understand. It's exciting, isn't it? You've heard the expression, black man in America?
Mm-hmm.
Buzz on the Don and Mike show.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. What the hell does that mean?
Does that mean you feel somehow oppressed?
A little, yes, okay. Under the circumstance.
All right. We're looking for...
You mean you can't come up with 10 black musicians?
Not under pressure. I need some time to think about it. I can't do it in 60 seconds on live radio. No. Sorry. It's just not what I do.
You know, you could actually take care of a whole bunch by just mentioning the Jacksons.
There you go.
Could you mention all of them by name? Well,
I could.
You know,
well, Mike, I know you could, and you know I could.
Right.
Marlon, Tito,
Jackie,
Jermaine,
Michael,
Janet, Latoya.
Right.
Is there one we're forgetting?
Kate.
Kate Jackson. No, she was on Charlie's Angels. Well, what can I say, but it's a tribute to all African-Americans.
Sure is.
You did very well with the... You did the best with football players naming four.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you named three actors. You named three football, basketball players and three musical artists.
Very, very proud.
Say it loud. You're black and proud, Buzz.
A total of 13 fine African-Americans on Buzz's list out of a...
Possible 40?
A possible 40.
Every day, we're going to find a different way to salute Black History Month on this show. And thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
34%.
There you go. It's about like my bowling.
There you go.
Now, I mean, sure.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You don't bowl as spaz as Johnny does.
I throw in a bonus one for you?
Sure.
A bonus one?
Sure.
This is going to be a... Let me take a real, real tough one. Because I thought those were easy. I thought, like, NBA is a, you know...
If I'd had time to think about it, but...
Well, that was the whole point.
I know.
You don't have time to think about
Rob,
it.
You know, Rob had time to think of his little list, and I had no time to think of mine.
He's defensive, and I can understand why.
I'm embarrassed.
Would you like to turn it around on me?
No, I'd be glad
to take... You throw out the challenge... I'll take it now to see how crappy I do.
But you and Mike are very good at the improv.
No, what we can do is take a category for each of us, because we all have areas of where we don't have.
And you know,
I'm not real deep in basketball either. I would have had trouble with that.
Go ahead. Would you like to throw one out against us? Go ahead.
If I was playing Don, I'd go with a category that I know that I'd be able to get him in.
Right. What's that?
Right.
In 60 seconds, name 10 hockey players.
I don't know why. Turn the thing off. I don't know one black hockey.
I win.
Yeah.
That's how easy that was.
I don't know one black hockey.
Yeah, now he could do it. Now you try to do it to me because you know if you think the right category.
Well, you know, no, actually, hockey's like the universe. And, well, okay.
All right, for me?
Yeah.
Okay, in 60 seconds?
Besides, well, I'm going to give you two that I know you're going to know right away.
Okay, you can eliminate those to make it harder.
Tiger Woods and Vijay Singh.
Right.
Pro golfers.
Not black pro golfers?
Black pro golfers.
David Duval.
No. Black pro golfers.
Oh, black pro golfers.
Without Tiger Woods or Vijay Singh.
That's not fair. They don't exist.
Lee Elder.
Lee Elder. Charlie Sifford. Charlie Sifford Jr.
All the Siffords.
Wait a minute. There's one more. Charlie Sifford Jr. And Jim Dent.
You're picking names out of a phone book. I don't know.
Jim Dent and that...
That might be it.
That might very well be. I'm sure there are more African
American. I didn't even know about
golfers.
The junior.
Buzz, you want one more?
Sure.
Okay. Let me think of an easy one for you. Wait for this thing to re-cue. Oh, okay. This is a real easy one.
You know what I'd love to do with you?
What?
I'd love to... you can't mention Tiger Woods or David Duval.
Right.
Give me 10 PGA golfers.
You want me to give you...
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with blacks, though.
I know.
Right.
I know it doesn't. 10 PGA golfers.
All right.
Just
so
like it.
Start the clock.
Go.
Might not be cued.
All right.
Does it be current or can they be former?
They can be former.
Okay.
Hall of Famers.
Because you've always, you know, you said, all right, now go. Go.
Well, I'm waiting for the clock. Tick, tick, tick.
Well, come on, Joe.
Gary Player.
Right.
Jack Nicklaus. Arnold Palmer. Lee Trevino. John Daly. I can't have Tiger Woods?
No.
Okay, I got five. Where's Sergio Garcia?
Good job.
Is that one? How about this? Davis Love III.
Good job.
How about this one? How about Ben Crenshaw?
Yes, come on.
How about
two more?
Two more. God damn it. Jasper Parnovic.
Yes, that's the one more.
Cat. And for Christ's sake, David Duvall. Oh, Christ, one more. I need one more golfer. One more.
Six under.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Oh! Hey,
did it.
Nice.
Very good.
Got it.
Very good.
That is terrific.
Got it.
That was hard to do.
That's very tough.
That is very, very good.
God damn, that's hard.
God damn it, honey.
God damn it, honey.
Damn it, golfing, honey.
My God. Wait, see, it's fun to think of categories where we'd all come up short.
Had plenty of time there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, can I speak to radio star Buzz Burbank, please?
He's right here.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, I just want to let you know that you don't have to worry about your lack of knowledge in black history or black music or whatever, because you and your wife make the best on-radio duo that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Stop it.
Oh, that commercial that we're running with Buzz and Marshall.
But you guys who just deserve it. Best on-radio duo ever.
Wow, that's very kind.
Thank you, my friend. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Thank you. See you later.
And it's not that I don't know, you know, black actors or even black athletes. I'm just not good at thinking of a list under pressure.
How about... Can I give him a list?
Is it black or non-black?
It's non-human.
Oh. Okay, sure.
Buzz?
Yes.
In 60 seconds.
Okay.
Give me,
I feel good about this.
Give me 10 makes of car.
All right,
current makes of car.
60 seconds on the clock.
Ford, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota, Hyundai, Honda.
It's not what you meant, is it?
No, not at all.
Those are makes.
Not by a little bit. Model.
So, I thought you said makes.
I'm sorry. All right, forget it.
All right.
I wanted models. You know,
we all want models.
The Dodge Stealth and stuff.
Buzz is the worst at games, but I understood what you were saying.
Not the jumble.
Right.
Technically,
that's right. I'll kick your ass with the jumble.
Technically, by make, you meant manufacturer, and I know Mike was looking for like the Acura Legend.
Right.
Make is the maker, model is the model.
Toyota Celica.
And difficult under like a time window to come
Chevrolet
up with something.
Chevrolet Capri.
Shut up.
Don't make it anymore. Current models of car.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm
Hello.
So sorry, Rob.
They make it in Saudi Arabia.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
You want a really great sports game that works anytime is try and come up with 10 guys of
I love
the
guy. I just want to interrupt you for a second. I love the guys that do have the idea for the game and then are not able to spit it out.
I'll give them a chance.
Well, okay,
here.
I'll spit it out.
All right, spit it out.
Come up with 10 guys in sports with the same first name. You pick any name you want.
You know what that is? That's the name game. We play the name game all the time on this show.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, take care.
Come on, get out of here. That's enough. We're going to break. Buzz, would you like to apologize to all blacks who are listening right now?
I'd like to apologize to everyone. Everyone on the planet. I'm sorry. I'm just very damn sorry.
Happy, everybody. Happy Black History Month.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I'm sure you're wondering why I'm here.
Well, I think you're here because you want to know why I'm not fighting back. Because despite it all, you got some odd sense of fair play. And you're kicking my ass. It's gone from feeling like easy pickings to out and out bullying.
I just feel like there should be some back and forth between us, you and the committee.
I give you back and forth on Social Security, relations with Israel, on the Dow Jones, the census, almost everything, but not this. No, not my personal life. It's just nobody's business.
Well, that's not what the people will tell you. The people will tell you that it is their business.
You know what? You're young. It's okay. You're young. And I'm just going to choose to be amused by your naivete, give you the benefit of the doubt.
The Don and Mike Show. They have no steel tails. They have no cat feet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, I think we have Scotty Crane on the phone right now. And my computer here is a piece of S. And Mike, yours is an equal piece of S.
Yes, it is.
Buzz, please go to...
Yes.
www.bobcrane.com.
Okay.
And then I have a username and a password for you that I will pass along via Robbie Speedway. Robbie, you run that into Buzz. And while we're trying to get on the Bob Crane website, let's welcome now Scotty Crane. Hello, Scotty.
Yeah. Hey, great to be on the show, you guys.
Hi, thank you. You know, have you on a
You're not going to give that password away, right?
No. That's going to our news guy.
Super secret. It will not leave his mind.
Because he has the only computer that works here in the studio. Yeah, maybe. His works.
What cheap studios you guys working on?
Worst computers in the nation.
The worst.
You know what? All radio stations are the same.
So you are Bob Crane's son.
Correct.
And when I tried to put your side up on both Mike's computer and my computer, I was able to get the top where it said bobcrane.com with a little picture of your dad with the camera, and then it says like XXX, and then a place to click on if you want to join and see the fun pictures.
So are these films or stills?
Both pictures from his personal still collection and video. Actually, the video we've got up there right now is from 1956.
Wow. And this is video of sex acts?
Yeah, of my father, Bob Crane, engaged in sexual activity.
Is it straight sex or gay sex?
Now, see, there's the rumor. There's been this really strong rumor for the last 23 years that he was involved in gay sex. Totally untrue. That's the reason why we're actually doing this site, is to dispel some of these rumors that have been around.
I think the rumor that I remember is that actually his death was the result of a gay sex romp gone bad.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
That's what I heard.
There's a lot of them like that. The strongest ones are that the women he photographed and videotaped didn't know they were being videographed or videotaped and photographed, and that it was done without their consent. BS. Totally untrue. You look at our book, The Faces of Bob Crane, on the website, www.bobcrane.com, all these women are smiling, willing participants, and the camera is sometimes only an inch or two away from their face or other body parts.
Buzz, are you having any luck getting to that site yet?
Yeah, I think we're getting through now. Yep, here we are. I can visit the photo gallery. I can visit the video archives.
All right,
either one.
Go to the photo gallery.
All right.
And what we're going to need you to do is probably swing your computer screen around
I can swing it.
So that
you can swing it?
Mike and I can see what's happening.
The lead and how to swing it.
All right, now, Scotty, let me ask you about...
Can you see okay?
Yeah, now I
can. Let me move this down?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, here
you.
Comes a whole gallery of pictures.
Right, a little bit.
How have the other members of your family reacted to the website that you have here as a way of proving that your dad was no fag?
Well, it's more than proving that, but my mom, Sigrid Valdez from Hogan's Heroes, his wife, Bob Crane's wife, is very supportive of it. The rumors that have been out there for, as I said, 23 years are very damaging to the image of Bob Crane and also to the family. And, you know, we could come out and we could do interviews and we could write books that say all these rumors are untrue and no one would believe us. And the only way, you know, since the O.J. case, everybody wants DNA, everybody wants hard physical evidence.
Right.
And the only hard physical evidence we have are his photographs and his videotapes.
The only hard physical evidence is between your dad's legs. Do you actually see your dad's genitals in these pictures and movies?
10 inches of screaming pink Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You know, here's another rumor about you and about all these endeavors. It was my understanding that this was, something you were doing to get back at your dad or something. This is not about that at all?
No, it's actually to protect his image. Quite the opposite, actually.
I'm sure he's smiling down from heaven now.
Would he dig it?
Was covering the trial for the murder of Bob Crane. They showed some videotape of my dad having sex on the screen, and it was broadcast worldwide. And my mom and I were sitting there watching this broadcast, and she goes, "Oh my God! If your father could look down and see, 19, 20 years after his murder, that people are still talking about him, and the images of him having sex is worldwide news. I mean, he's a performer. What else could he want?"
So he dug it. I mean, he was kind of an exhibitionist.
Oh, he was. He showed these photos to everyone. That's the other thing. Is I'm not doing something that he wouldn't have done. The greatest story to illustrate that is right after Hogan's ended, he became Disney's number one contract player, and he was in the film Superdad. A reporter from the New Times Hollywood calls him up and says, "Hey, I want to do a story on Bob Crane. I want to follow you around for 24 hours, and I want the story to be called A Day in the Life of Bob Crane."
I bet.
Yeah. So my dad goes, "Oh, great, come on over to the house, meet the family." We all sit down, we have lunch. My dad then takes him down to his, basement dark room and shows him all these homemade, this reporter from the paper, all these homemade porno tapes and photographs. And he goes a step further. He goes, "Get your photographer. Let's go to my favorite strip club, the Classic Cat on the Sunset Strip, and I want you to meet this stripper that I love." And they go there. They take all these photographs of my dad with this stripper named Angel Carter, who was topless in these photographs. Of course, the story runs in the paper. Of course, the pictures run in the paper. And, of course, Disney fires Bob Crane.
Oh.
It was the last thing he wanted to happen. He had no idea that this could possibly jeopardize his career.
Because what, did he think of it as completely normal behavior?
Well, you got to remember, it's the at this time of the story, it was the early 1970s and like the free love and sexual revolution of that time had really taken a stranglehold in places like L.A., especially with celebrities. And what he was doing actually wasn't that bizarre. There were plenty of celebrities doing exactly what he was doing, engaged in swinging lifestyles and group sex. The only difference was he was videotaping it and he was showing it to everybody.
The last time, hold on, Bowser, are you pulling something up here?
Here's Bob Crane. Here's the face of Bob Crane and some of Bob's other parts as
well. Oh, my God. Is that Bob's penis?
Yes, it is.
Scotty, excuse me for a moment. I'm going to have to leave the microphone to go to the window to take a look.
Yeah, I am looking at this picture, Scotty, and that's the... That seems to be the central photograph on BobCrane.com, and a woman is servicing your father. And that is right. Your father is rather significantly endowed. Do you share that endowment, Scotty?
I got his libido. but I smoked so much pot by the time I was 13 that I only got 4.5 inches of cream and pick cheeses.
Who would have thought that that Colonel Hogan has such a big wiener?
Yeah, he was a well-built man.
Now, I will tell you that photograph that I just saw, if it is a homemade photograph, I mean, he obviously put a little time into it.
Oh, he was an excellent photographer. He'd been into, that's the other rumor. The rumor is that he didn't start getting into, like, photographing sex acts and swinging and group sex until he met my mother, which is really damaging to my mother because she didn't even participate in any of it. But the truth is, he met my mother in 1965. We've got a video up there from 1956 of him with a woman, and it's not his wife at the time.
And your mom
did this since the 40s.
Your mom didn't mind about this lifestyle?
Now, everyone in Hollywood knew exactly what my father was about. And, I mean, he made no bones about it. He this wasn't a secret. And my mom was friends with him for 5 years before they got married. She just, you know, she fell in love with him, and it was like, well, I have to accept it because he's going to divorce me if I don't put up with it. He left his first wife because she wouldn't put up with it.
Now, is your mom or is the first wife the one who was Colonel Kling's receptionist?
My mom.
Okay, so your mom is...
So your mom's beautiful.
Oh, my mom's gorgeous.
A POA. Buzz, what is the picture you've pulled up now?
This is a part of Bob again, being enjoyed by one of his lady friends.
Hold on, let me walk over and take a look. This is just of Bob's wiener. Now.
Yeah, absolutely.
She has black tape over her eyes.
Once again,
these cameras are so close to their faces, there's no way they didn't know that it was going on.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I agree.
She couldn't see a thing with that black tape over her
eyes. I would imagine, though, that the women that are in some of these pictures and in some of these videotapes are probably, some of them, a little freaked out. How are you getting around that?
Well, most of them are probably dead, right? I mean, they're...
Well, no, I wouldn't think so. I mean, Bob Crane, if he was alive, would be how old today?
He would be... He actually, last weekend, he turned 73.
73.
Wow. Well, so some of them probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, and plus the women that he was with, he died when he was 49. The women that he was with, you know, close to the end of his life, were a lot younger than him.
Wow. So one time we had Colonel Clank on the show. I mean,
he's great. He called me 2 months before he died. He's a great guy.
But answer my question: what about the women that are in some of these videotapes and pictures? Are you getting lawsuits? Are you getting heat from these women?
No, actually, I haven't heard from any of them.
Wow.
I think what he's saying is most of them consented to having their picture taken.
Well, but what I heard at the beginning was that these women are alleging that these photographs were taken secretly.
Right, which is totally untrue. They were doing that to protect their own image because they knew that these photographs would one day surface.
Look at the picture on BobCrane.com right now. There's no way that that's...
He had a good taste.
Yeah, that is not a spontaneous picture. That's a picture of a naked lady
She's
posing.
Holding her coat open.
The other thing is the video technology back in those days, no one had it but pro news studios. And my father, through a friendship with the guy who was actually accused of killing him, was able to acquire this, like, really high-end pro video equipment that no one had. And so back then, these cameras were about the size of a commercial microwave oven is today, like one in a kitchen. And there was no viewfinder. So in order to see what you were filming at all, you had to have it plugged into a television monitor in the room with you. So you couldn't hide it.
And now, do we have any video on this BobCrane.com?
Yeah, absolutely.
But where does the Buzz have to go so we can watch a movie?
You go back to kind of like the main gallery page when you first enter the members section, and there's a link for video.
I'm gonna click on Show Me Bob's Videos.
There you go.
All right, now when we've had Colonel Clegg on the show about a million times, and the last time we had him on, we brought up the fact that your dad liked sex and like having sex, and this was his quote. This was his.
I don't remember a thing to say.
What a horrible thing to say.
But then we have another tape of Warner Klemperer, who is really backing up what Scotty says, because he kind of answers the question.
I think we use that on the way into the segment.
Yeah, in a matter-of-fact way, that you know he liked to film sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
Yeah,
that's a very good impersonation of him.
Hi, thank you very much. That's very nice, Scotty.
Wow!
Hi, yes, I've done...
I should have you on my show.
I've done Werner Klemperer for a long time.
Yes, now, you have a radio show.
I'm impressed.
Thank you, Scotty.
You have a radio show, right?
Yeah, nationally syndicated radio show. But what's funny is my father shared all his hobbies with me. I mean, I've been seeing these photographs since I was a little kid, since I could crawl. But he also taught me how to play baseball. He taught me how to drum. He was a great drummer. But he also, this is a funny radio story, he taught me how to do the craft of radio, if you can call it a craft. He would set me up with a turntable, a microphone, a four-track recorder, and he'd put on Kiss records, and he'd say, take it to the post, Scotty, take it to the post.
That's neat.
Because your dad was a DEEJAY, right?
He sure was. He was number one in L.A. for 10 years straight. He was called the king of the L.A. airwaves.
All right, well, let me give you a record right now. And do you want to talk a record up for us?
Sure. If I know the song, I'll try and take it to the post.
All right, I'll give you an easy one. Everybody plays this stupid record. This Uncle Cracker, Follow Me.
I don't know it, but let me go for it.
Let me put it on. Let me give you just a taste of it. I'm sure you've heard it. Stations play this every goddamn second. Hold on. Let me turn this one right here.
So you're listening to the Don and Mike show. It's Uncle Cracker, their big new hit, coming right up.
You don't know
how the intro is.
Something to do over the phone.
Yeah, it's hard over the phone. I'll give you an example. Here you go, right here you go. Everybody, good afternoon on KRAK. A big crack. I took some video right now, Bob Cray, and here's your Uncle Cracker.
You don't know how you met.
No, that was perfect.
Yeah, you want to try it one time?
I see. No, let's move on.
All right. But you got to.
I'm not here to. Excuse me.
Oh, dear.
Scotty.
Hold on. He dropped the.
You're
a DJ. You should know better than that.
He dropped the bomb. So.
You can hear more of that on my radio show.
Now, what else have I read? Is it your brother that's not happy about this site? Who in the family is not happy about the site?
He's my half brother. He's the son of my father's first wife. And so his name is Robert David Crane. My name is Robert Scott Crane. My dad's name, Bob Crane, was Robert Edward Crane. Ever since my dad died, this guy's been running around the country publishing articles under the name Bob Crane Jr. And there is no Bob Crane Jr. And he's telling the police and reporters that I'm not Bob Crane's son.
Oh, that's nasty. Well, that's easy to prove, isn't it?
You know, I'd love to take a DNA test with the guy.
That'd be great.
I would love to do that. He's probably too much of a wimp to actually stand up to the plate and do it.
You know, Scotty, I apologize. We have a senior citizen in the next room running our internet here. Buzz,
yeah.
How you doing pulling up the movies there of Bob Crane?
Well, at the age of 47, I'm doing fine, but our computer is having some problems. There's a place where I can click to get a plug-in, and I'm waiting for the plug-in to arrive.
All right, so it works best with Internet Explorer and a PC machine, which is a bummer because I'm on Mac, but...
What are you using, Buzz Internet Explorer?
No, I've got Netscape up here.
Oh, Netscape. Well, listen, I tell you what, Scotty, we will continue to plug the site, bobcrane.com.
And now, talk about the murder or anything? Because I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, hold on. I'm just giving you a plug here before we get to the good stuff. Someone who wants to go and see the movies of your dad, how much does it cost to watch the nudes?
You know, it's like $7.
All right, that's cheap. Now... You mentioned it. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, the very controversial murder.
Your dad's murder, he had an electrical cord around his neck?
I guess whoever murdered him, first they bludgeoned him to death with one of his very own camera tripods, and then for some unknown reason tied an electrical cord cut from the video camera around his neck, and no one really knows why they did that, because it wasn't used to strangle him.
Was it a crime of passion when this happened?
I think it definitely was. I think it was an angry cuckold, a jealous husband, you know, a jealous boyfriend. I don't think it was John Henry Carpenter, the guy that was acquitted for it, and I'm not protecting John Henry Carpenter because he was a real creep. He was a dark guy.
Okay.
He actually was sentenced for crimes that are really, really hideous. So I believe he probably had it in him to kill someone. He had he had what it took to do that. But I don't think he did it, and neither did the jury. And I think the Scottsdale police had interests to protect, And I think that John Henry Carpenter was fingered by the police. We probably have video of that somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure he was fingered by the police. So how pissed off are you now, all these years later, that this is still... It's like the Robert Blake wife thing, right? It's like nothing's happening.
Right, yeah. It's pretty upsetting, actually. I mean, I hope that all this publicity about the case will help open up the case. But I believe that... any evidence that could really point to the real killer has probably been lost or destroyed by now.
So you really don't hold out much hope that anything would resurface?
Oh, I hold out hope, but there's not much of it. Yeah, right.
You ever consider Richard Dawson?
No.
How about Kinch?
No, you know what I think? I think it was, here's what I think. I think you're a big celebrity, and you like porno, and you like strip clubs, and you go into a really small town like Scottsdale, and you head straight to the strip club.
Oh, hold on. For a minute, I thought you were talking about me. I thought you said you're a really big celebrity. You like porno.
No, he's
like,
talking about his dad.
Your dad. Okay, your dad, right. Okay.
No, I was talking about you. No.
All right, so your dad's a big celebrity. He likes porno. He likes strip clubs.
And it's the early 1970s, and who ran the adult business in the 1970s? I mean,
the mob.
Yeah, it was organized crime. And you go into these strip clubs, and you're a big celebrity, and all of a sudden you're meeting the manager or the owner, and they're inviting you to their house or their parties, and you're meeting their wives and their girlfriends and their daughters, and you're Bob Crane, and you have no scruples. You sleep with anything, whether they're married or not. You know, any woman is fair game. And so it's be really easy to piss off somebody who's capable of murder.
Now, how do you feel about...
The other thing is, it could easily be a cop's wife, and who else are the cops going to protect more than their own brethren?
And how do you feel about, I mean, you know, your dad and the lifestyle now? I mean, do you share the same lifestyle that your dad had?
No, I've got his libido, like I said, but I'm definitely monogamous. You know, there was a real moral lesson put on to me that, like, sex is fine, but, you know, don't sleep around or you'll get brained for it.
Oh, all right.
I guess
maybe
so.
Maybe you learned that.
Yeah, you got a lesson there.
From your dad. All right. It's surprising you didn't know that. So,
well, at seven, I didn't know that.
Right. So BobCrane.com, that's the site. Now, Buzz is on the... What service are you on now, Buzz?
I've gone to Internet Explorer, and I'm just into the video section again. I think I'm about ready to hit play.
All right, hold on. Let's see if we can actually get the movie on while we have Scotty online here.
Unless, of course, we need a plug-in.
And, Buzz, what are the...
You just need a... what is it? The Windows player.
Yeah, I think Windows player is built in. And Buzz, how many choices for movies you got there?
Just on this first page alone, it looks like there's about six.
Six movies. Goddamn. Your dad loved making movies of himself, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he was a performer throughout, whether it was on radio, behind the drum kit, you know, in the bedroom. He was performing. I mean, in a lot of these videos, it's bizarre. You'll notice that he is watching that TV monitor that's in the room with him and the chick more than he's watching the chick that's actually in his lap.
Now, does he ever have sex with a Hogan hat on?
No, I've never seen that.
But he certainly used his fame to his advantage. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, had a hit TV show, and he had fun with it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when you're a big star, these things come pretty easy for you.
Your mom must be a relatively understanding woman.
Yeah, she really was. I've never met another woman like her, that's for sure. The interesting thing that the cops said when he was killed, well, first thing they said was, your dad's dead. And the second thing...
Oh, God, okay.
The second thing was, this was not a mob hit. We know that the Scottsdale police are rumored to be run by organized crime, and that Scottsdale is rumored to be overrun with mob figures. And it is. You watch any, mob film, where do they go when they retire from Chicago and New York? They go to the desert.
Arizona.
Yeah. And they don't even deny that. They acknowledge that the rumors exist, and then they say, but we know for certain this isn't a mob hit. And then a story breaks in the paper a few weeks later after he was murdered that there was a well-known mob informant actually serving time in Arkansas who called the Scottsdale police and said, I know who killed Bob Crane, and it was a mob hit. So they extradite him from Arkansas to Arizona. They put him in a holding tank where in the morning he's going to give his statement about who killed Bob Crane. And he, for some reason, hung himself in his holding cell that night.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well,
boy,
you got,
oh boy.
That's pretty suspicious.
Yeah, really.
Call John Walsh for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're up on a break. Scotty, thank you for your time. Eventually, we'll be able to pull these movies up with the password you gave us, right? This is not like a one-hour password you gave us, right?
It'll expire tonight, yes. But,
tonight.
You got all day.
He's a smart kid.
Tonight. All right. Well, Scotty Crane, thank you. We're big fans of your dad. And the site is bobcrane.com.
You got it.
And thank you for your time, Scotty.
Hey, thank you very much. You guys take care.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What
a horrible thing to say.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty open about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I am so completely surprised at that. I thought this guy was going to come in, you know, he didn't like his dad, wanted everybody to see what, you know, he's just matter of fact. That was his lifestyle.
Buzz, how's it going? I see something happening on your screen now.
Oh, we're watching the lovely Windows Media logo animate itself right now.
Okay, well,
all right.
I guess we'll go to another computer and see if we can pull up the movie.
The computers in this radio station do suck.
You know, I know we're busted on Buzz a lot, but it's not Buzz. It's
not Buzz's fault.
It's the freaking computer. I've seen Buzz go to three different services.
Yeah, I mean, Buzz can't get it up on the computer.
Hey.
I mean, on the computer.
Can't type in the name and the password we were given, but eventually, before that password becomes invalid, we will get a movie of Bob Crane boning some chick.
Because, you know, with everything else, it being Bob Crane, the quality might surprise you.
And he did have an enormous schwanz.
Oh, he did indeed.
I mean, I'm no fag, but I'm telling you, that's like a horse.
It was magnificent.
Two pieces of good news. One, I think I figured out what tomorrow's password will be based on today's. And the other thing is, it's come up here. It looks like we have...
Oh, hold on!
We have a small sepia-toned video.
All right, hold on. I'm over here.
Is that what I think I see?
What is it?
It looks like two naked people on the bed with, of course, the websites. There it goes.
Oh, now.
It's old black and white film. And
it looks like an old-time movie.
You really can't see anything. The lighting is bad, and the name of the website is plastered over the page. And it's that old-timey black and white home movie film that people used to use.
But it is. We are watching a movie.
I guess.
Of Bob Crane having sex.
Such as it is.
Isn't that an ass that I see going up and down in the air?
Who can tell at this point?
No, right in the middle, Buzz. What's the thing right in the middle of the screen there? See the fleshy thing?
This thing here?
No.
This thing over here.
What's that?
I think that's the mattress. I think this is a shadow on the mattress. And this is a person standing.
I see nothing. I see nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
I see nothing.
Well, that looks like an ass to me, but maybe you guys are right. Maybe that's the mattress.
Yeah.
Well, you know, mattresses, asses.
Okay.
It's porn.
Well, you know. Way.
Bob Crane, what an American.
He keeps giving.
Either way, we got in there.
And, you know, Scotty's mom, I remember her on that show. I mean.
A nice German POA.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember that? Colonel Klink, phone for you.
You'd just be staring at her and then big laughs in the colonel's office.
We will be right back.
This. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Who's peculiar, Pa?
Oh, I reckon everybody is a little bit.
I'm part peculiar, Pa.
That's fine, isn't it?
Well, today my teacher, she said to me that I washed my neck this morning. And I said I did. And she took a look and then she said, well, it looks mighty peculiar to me.
You know what it means?
Mm-hmm. It means dirty.
No, it means strange or odd. Let me see. Huh? That is peculiar. You better go home and wash your neck.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
I got something funny to tell you.
Yes?
What? I was just having a little Redskins meeting with Ken Stephens.
Yes, you were.
And guess who is going to be on the field introducing the starting lineups for the Redskins on opening day against the Dallas Cowboys? It's not me.
All right, give me just a little vague hint.
He's in this room.
Rob Spiewak.
That's right.
Rob Spiewak. On opening day?
On opening day, the Redskins against the Dallas Cowboys.
Will actually be introducing the players?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right. My God.
That's right.
And now.
How funny is that?
Cool. You will be the charming MC. Now, will you be... Well, that sounds like the booth announcer. Will you be able to do that or what?
They're whoring it out this year. That's where
they're sponsored, right?
That's where Arch Campbell was involved last week.
Right.
They're going to have somebody from the media come out every week,
right,
get on the field with the microphone about a half hour before the game to introduce the teams.
How wacky is that?
Oh, that's fantastic.
So Ken said to me,
fantastic, man. Get it on tape. That's all I want to
It'll
say.
It'll be on tape. Yeah.
Ken came in and said, the Redskins would like you to do this the first week to me. And I said, I can't do it because I'm going to be doing the pregame show and to do the introductions.
Right.
I said, what is about Rabe? Ken looked at him, and at first, Ken thought I was goofing.
Yeah,
right?
He did. Right. He did. He says, we don't want to make a joke of it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Now here are your starting lineups for today's game.
He'll be, not only will he be introducing the Redskins, he'll be introducing the Cowboys, too.
Please welcome Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, you got to do it like that.
No, I'll do my best not to mispronounce any name.
And wear burgundy and gold.
Always.
Absolutely.
As I am right now.
That's funny.
Congratulations.
That's why you're walking with a limp right now, isn't it, Rob?
Oh, that is great. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, I'm calling. I listen on WJFK.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, you guys have a real moron during the traffic today.
I would agree with you.
Not me.
No.
No. No, I mean, you know, he says the traffic and then he goes,
we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
No, then he goes, yeah. And you can still hear him. Complete idiot.
Well, now, are you talking about the tapes we're playing? Because, you know, the guy.
We play that tape as a tribute to him, ma'am.
Here's. You mean when he said.
No way.
When he said this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so pathetic.
Yeah.
No, I listen to you guys every day, and I've never heard that.
Hold it. That's the tape.
That was us.
When you said the guy is awful, and I said yes, I only said that because the guy's a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours, and he did that one time whenever he was doing. In fact, I think it might have been for the Crystal City restaurant that he was doing.
Yeah.
This guy was doing a commercial for a strip club, and he during the commercial said,
"Oh yeah."
So you certainly can't pass judgment on him for saying, "Oh yeah," because that's a tape we have from a commercial he had previously.
Okay.
That we play at the end of his traffic because it's kind of a goof on him because we worked with him.
Oh, okay. Well, the only other thing is that it's too bad that Don is not doing that coaching thing for that Keanu movie because I certainly would have gone to see it then.
Oh, well, thank you. And if you had seen me in that movie, I know you would say,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So would you like to say anything to the fantastic traffic guy that's working today in place of our regular traffic reporter? Is there anything you'd like to say to him?
Idiot.
Okay.
Ah, yes. Way to back off.
He's so nice.
He's not an
there
idiot.
There you go. Nice lady.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good evening.
Hello there.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great, thank you.
I'd like to get Dennis Murphy to come down to Greenville, South Carolina, and MC one of our baseball games for the Greenville Braves.
Well, I'm sure you could get him on his website at DennisMurphy.com.
But maybe Don and Mike could tell him, you know, say, hey, do this for us.
Why would Don and Mike want to do that? 100th person today who's called the show and can't seem to realize you're talking to us.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
What's the problem? Are our voices that generic?
Even if you want to say the voices are generic, there are two people on the phone.
Hello. It's two of us. You see, it's him.
I'm on my cellular phone. I'm used to hearing you guys in stereo.
No. I don't buy that. I'm on a cellular phone.
I think everyone in our... I sound like Dan Quayle. I think everyone in our listening order wear a badge of honor. No, they have to pay attention more. They have to... You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay attention to when
Please.
They tell you... Was that a saliva gurgle?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Was that phlegm or just...
Yes, it was a phlegm.
As a badge of honor.
Is there a chance we could get a replay?
Yeah, replay that. Because that really was some of my mucus working its way up the throat here.
That was cool.
What do I want?
Taste water? Hand me a ladder so I can get out of this hole.
All right, goodbye.
All right, goodbye. You're out of the hole. I just hung up on you. Here you go.
Have to pay attention more. They have to. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like,
oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Rewind.
Isolated him. Isolated him.
Got to have it forever.
Please, we have to. Okay, all right, hold on. Here it is. Oh, hold on.
A man is drowning here.
Have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay.
Oh, God, I'm getting ahead of it. Rewind it again, Rob.
Oh,
rewind.
That's too funny.
Okay, all right. Oh.
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Oh, man.
Dude, you know what I think of right now? I think of old Smoky Rivers.
curious if anything comes into or it goes out of the human body.
Here, one more time, Rob.
Please, yes.
Not something I did on purpose, certainly.
Let us know when you call this show.
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please.
Like, pay attention.
See what you people do to me? See what you made me do? See what you made me do?
It's their fault.
It's their fault, Mike.
I swear to God, it's their fault.
It's totally their fault.
I couldn't do that again if I tried.
No, no way.
No, I couldn't do it if I tried.
And you know something? When I heard it the first time, I'm talking too, so I can't hear exactly. But only when I heard it on the tape did I really get to hear it.
My hot, warm phlegm.
And then I asked if it was saliva. No, it is phlegm.
Phlegm. Definitely phlegm.
Mucousy phlegm. That's my new disc jockey name. That earlier accident on the...
Oh, why'd you point one, Robbie?
On number two. Hold on.
Oh, number two. All right, hold on.
Go ahead.
Got it.
They have to pay attention more. They have to. You know what you have to do as a listener when you call this show?
What is it?
You have to pay attention.
Please. Like,
that's embarrassing,
man. Yeah.
But it's good. Oh, you know it's good.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Oh, my God. Please.
Hello.
It's the real stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Real show.
Hi, Don. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
You know that phone number that you have that you do the dodo?
Yes, us re okay dodo.
Yeah, you know, it drives me crazy. D-O is do, like in doo-doo.
No, D-O-D-O is dodo.
Do in do-re-mi, man.
Well, doo-doo sounds funnier.
But no. do is in do-re-mi.
And if technically I think if you could spell doo-doo, it would be D-O-O-D-O-O.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. You have it wrong, ma'am.
Us re okay dodo, that's the phone number.
Thanks.
Remember that, please.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Love
you. No, love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Do we have it? I mean, do we have it forever?
I think we got to isolate it during the commercials.
All right.
I'll tell you one thing. Now, I've brought up a lot of phlegm after that, too.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I caught the tail end of you a little while ago, and I caught the thing that you're having a problem with they're trying to take you off the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I said that I went to one of your shows, and I didn't drink a thing, and I didn't have a problem with it. And I thought, you know, if they're trying to take you off the air just because of the content, that's wrong.
Right, we appreciate that. Thank you, my friend.
Really?
We're very upset with them trying to take us off the air.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to let you know, if that caller could not recognize your voice, then it is hard to recognize your voice when you're talking over the phone.
Okay, but my point to him was, if you're calling the show and there are two people on the telephone.
Hi there.
Wouldn't that be a clue that maybe you're on the air and that you haven't been through to Rockhead? Not to mention the fact that
I used to always listen to people who didn't know it was you, and I'd go, what idiot?
Well, now, what makes it so difficult? I want to know what makes it so difficult.
I finally called and got through last week and realized that it is hard because I can't tell when you pick up the phone.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me explain something. When you call the regular phone, when you don't get through on the air, when you talk to the screener, he picks up the telephone.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
I know when you call and you get through on the air, you hear this sound. You hear like a little...
Yeah, I know that now.
A whoosh.
Right. And it's obvious that you're hearing us coming through microphones. It's not the same sound
as this. It's a different sound.
Well, okay, that's true. But
I think also, I don't think our voices are generic on the telephone. And I don't think that, I mean, I understand there are two people here, but I also think that when you pick up the phone and you say, it's not like you have a difficult voice to recognize.
Say, Don and Mike show, hello, and then someone says, can I talk to Don and Mike? And they say, you're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person...
I always thought those people were idiots.
and those people are idiots, honey.
But then it is hard to tell.
Well... Okay, but even if you have trouble distinguishing our very distinguishable voices, when you call a radio show and someone says, you're on the air, what's the problem there?
Well, sometimes when you say hello and you're on hold, you don't know if they're talking, you know, if you're talking to me or somebody else, because they're just listening to the program.
I don't think we're asking too much of our listeners to know when they pick up the phone and they hear you're on the air. Frankly, if they're not bright enough to figure it out, they shouldn't be calling the friggin' show in the first place.
I think they should be able to recognize that it's you if you pick up the phone and say, yeah.
You know what?
Okay. That's true.
You want to answer the phone by saying yes.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
What a dumb bunny she was. Yeah. See, I'm trying, Mike. I'm just not that scared of
him.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't
That's
work. Everybody
hangs up when I say
Damn it.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah.
No, you're really on the air.
Yeah,
it's Mike's show.
Yeah, I know it. Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
It's Don and Mike.
See, it doesn't work, Mike.
It doesn't work. No, I guess you have to...
Hey, you can totally tell when it's you guys or when it's...
No, you just contradicted yourself.
Wait a minute. You're calling to say you can tell when it's us, but you didn't know it was us.
Yeah, I think it was my cell phone, but that was my...
No, you're busted. You can't do that.
No,
I'm serious.
You can't call and say you guys are easy to when you're somebody who didn't know it. It doesn't work that way. You can't backtrack out of that.
I'm telling you the truth, because my point was, my Rockhead, when you call him, he's all,
No, but listen, hold on. Hear us out. Your point is that you can tell the difference, yet you called, and I picked up the phone, Rockhead didn't, and
you said Don and Mike with a question mark on the end of it.
You didn't know it was us.
You didn't know it was us.
I was on hold. My cell phone broke up.
No, you weren't.
You can't do it now.
No, you weren't.
It's providence.
No, it's not.
Come on.
Providence, please.
Oh, nobody wants to, like, admit when they're wrong.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Especially us.
Yeah, of course. Hello.
Hello
there.
Can I speak to Don and Mike?
You're on the air, unless this is some phony hillbilly accent. What an ass wipe.
I swear to God.
Damn it.
I don't know why I'm enjoying this.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I don't know why.
Hello.
You know why? Because I'm just a very stupid man.
Hello.
That's why.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Come on.
Hello there.
Hello there. How are you?
See, she knows who we are.
She knows.
I know it's you.
No
coaching.
No coaching required.
Yeah, all I said was hello, like it was answering a regular phone.
Right. That's right.
Yes, hello, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
What's up? Hey, I just called to say that I could recognize that it was you answering the telephone. I'm so tired of people calling and saying, she's Dynamite.
Right. Now, she is allowed.
Turn your radio down.
She is allowed to say that because she did recognize
us. Correct.
The other guy, the reason we were giving him a hard time is because he was trying to say that, but he didn't recognize
us. But he didn't. That's right. And you know what? I'm getting ready to go under the 3rd Street Tunnel and watch DC, so we're going to get cut off.
All right,
see
baby.
Ya.
Enjoy that tunnel.
Okay.
Think of me when you go in that big tunnel. Because, you know, that's very phallic when you go in a tunnel.
Yes, it is.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must say, I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me. There's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Don't go away.
The Don and Mike Show. Whatever they say, it got to be funky. The Dons and Mikes.
I want to welcome to the big show.
Right.
Is this Dory or Lori? Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is this Dory or Lori?
Lori.
Hey, everybody. From Reading, Pennsylvania, please welcome Dory and Lori.
All right.
Siamese twins.
How you guys doing?
Fine, but the word is conjoined twins.
I'm sorry, what is the word?
Conjoined
twins.
Yeah.
Now, you are Lori.
I'm Lori.
And Dory is right there with you?
She's right here.
It's crazy.
Why don't you hold on and I'll put the answering machine thingy on.
Oh, okay.
The
speakerphone? Okay, good.
Yes, hello, girls.
Are you both there?
Yes.
Hi, gals. Now, you live in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Which one is Dory?
Me.
Hi, Dory.
Hi.
And Lori, hi.
Hi.
Can I ask how old you gals are?
35.
35?
Yes.
And I understand that you are making headlines because not only are you very close together, you know what I mean, but you also sing country and western.
Well, my sister Dory does only.
Only Lori doesn't, but Dory does.
Right, she's the country singer.
She and do you enjoy the singing when she does it? I think that would make things a lot easier.
Oh yes, I do like it. It's very nice. She does very good. I'm very proud of her.
Yeah, you know, I have so many questions that I've always wanted to ask somebody like you, gals. Like, it would absolutely drive me crazy if I had to do everything that my brother wanted to do. Who's more dominant, Dory or Lori?
Actually, it's a lot of compromise. We take turns in doing what we wanted each other wants to do.
Do you guys get in a lot of fights?
No, actually, we don't.
What's it like with guys when you go out on a date?
Well, Dory doesn't do much dating right now. She's more into her music right now. She's trying to get that off the ground and do that really well. So she's not really dating.
Now, you're conjoined at the head and for the past 35 years, and I want to know, how do you find privacy? How do you, I mean, really, what do you have techniques that you use when you want to, you know, when you want to have quiet time yourself?
Well, she Dory has her own room back here where her phone is right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This is her room for her to do what she wants to do, and this is not my room.
But when she goes to her room, don't you have to go with her?
I have to, but, you know, I'm quiet and I don't interrupt her.
Do you guys make out any kind of a schedule to do stuff you want to do?
No, not unless it's her going to do her singing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we have to do that.
What about TV? Do you have lots of fights about what to watch on TV?
No, we don't. We know what each other likes and doesn't like, so if one of us doesn't like something, the other one does. The one just watches it and the other one doesn't.
Can I ask you gals a real personal question? And it's about relations.
Yeah?
About if you're going to have relations with a fella, how do you work that? Do you have to get two guys?
No.
So
I'm not interested in that area right now.
But let's say that the one that's singing, Dory, is not interested in it. What if Lori's interested in it? Has that ever come up?
I've had relationships, yes.
Well, you have?
Yes, sure.
And I would imagine that one sister would have to approve of the other sister's... What?
No.
What do you do? Close your eyes?
It's mine and the fella's relationship. That's not hers.
But she's there, though.
But she doesn't have to like who I'm out with. That's my business.
Now, it says in this article I'm reading that that Lori is the dominant, over-the-top sister.
That's what they wrote, but I think we both just compromise really well.
Says, is this quote?
Yes, I am a little dominant. You are right. I am a little sometimes.
Is the quote true here that says, and this comes from you, Lori, where you say, hey, I've got all the things you guys like, nice big boobs and a nice big round butt?
I know.
What?
He wasn't supposed to have put that in there. I was just talking to him.
Oh, you were just talking to him.
Do you have nice big boobs, though?
He went beyond what he should have done.
Well,
I didn't want that in there.
Okay, but
talking as people, and then he wrote that in.
Being as it's in there, though, do you have nice big boobs?
Well, it depends on the person that's looking at them. I can't tell you I do.
Do you have the same size boobs as your sister?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
Could I ask your bra size?
No.
I can't.
You wouldn't tell us that, huh?
Oh, I wouldn't tell us that because there are, like I said, some private things that are not supposed to be put in paper.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
That was one thing I don't approve that he did.
Well, see, we just happen to be fascinated with boobs on this show. It's you know, we always have been. We can't help ourselves.
That's your prerogative.
Mm-hmm. See, to go out with you guys would be like
a relationship
dream,
just for the sex.
A dream come true. You know, four boobs at once.
Well. No.
Okay.
Now, are you guys joined at the head? Was there ever any, or could there be any medical way that you guys could have been separated, or was that always and today would still be impossible?
No, it wouldn't be impossible, but it wouldn't be very good either.
You mean there'd be a very dangerous procedure?
Very dangerous, yes.
How the heck?
Right now we're fine, so why mess with what's good?
You guys seem so well adjusted. Could you tell me how you've made it through 35 years of being joined to your sister at the head? I mean, is there a secret for your success?
It's just called faith.
Explain that. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Faith?
Yes.
Well, believing in yourself, believing in the Lord, and knowing that He did this for a reason, and you don't ask why, you just live this way and you accept it.
Is going to the bathroom a problem?
No.
No. But when one of you goes, the other one has to be along.
That's true. We have to be everywhere the other one is, but that doesn't mean we have to be watching exactly everything the other person's doing.
And as far as food, are there things that Lori, that you love that your sister hates, or
absolutely?
What would be the best example of a food that you absolutely adore and your sister can't stand the sight of?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any. She doesn't eat meat at all.
So she's a vegetarian?
Right, and I'm eating meat all the time, so she has to put up with that.
That's great.
And what about sleep? Do you guys have to be on the same sleep cycle?
Nope.
No, you don't, so you sleep at different times.
Well, we both go to bed at the same time, but it doesn't mean that I have to sleep when she sleeps.
Mm-hmm. And how did you guys happen to show up in this newspaper that we read about? Are you guys actively seeking publicity? Would you like to be on, like, one of the talk shows or something like that?
We have been on talk shows around here.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to be, like, what is your goal, like, to be on Jerry Springer? Or?
Were.
Yeah.
Oh, you were on Jerry Springer?
Been on him, yes.
Oh, what a surprise that is. Yes.
We love that.
Been on him. We've been on Jerry Springer's show.
And you guys, I guess there's got to be a lot of love between you guys to get through this thing.
We are very close to each other.
And the
matter of speaking, you know what I mean.
In a manner of speaking, of course.
And
not only in bodily, but in love and all that.
And Dory, did we ask you to sing one of your country songs, or did you not feel like doing that? Or was it Lori? Who are we?
No, it's Dory that sings.
Right. It's Dory that sings, and we're talking to Lori now, right?
Right.
Okay. Dory, are you there?
Yes.
Dory, could we trouble you for, do you have any original compositions?
I have stuff on my tape that I did.
She just put a tape out.
Put a tape out.
Would you like to sing something for us?
We'd be glad to give your tape a plug on our show here.
The tape is called Never Ending Love, by the way.
Never Ending Love. All right.
And it's by Dory.
And it's by me.
Right.
It was recorded in Nashville. We don't have any out in the stores yet. I just got 100 of them to sell for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That goes good. Hopefully I'll get signed to a company, then we can have a tape out maybe at the end of the year.
Well, listen, you should send us a copy of the song, and we'll play it on our show, and we'd be glad to give out your address or a phone number.
All I have are tapes, and radio stations need CDs.
Oh, no, not this radio station.
No, we can handle that. You send us a tape, we'll play it.
Hey, listen, I'm pretty sure that our fans would support you girls in your call. I bet you could sell all 100 copies just based on this telephone call to our show.
I don't do it anymore. I have to get more.
Oh, you have to get more?
Yes. She sold pretty many already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you gals do want to, would you like to give out a phone number or an address to see what kind of a response you get?
Well, first I'd have to get the tapes.
Oh, you want to get the tapes. All right, well, you do that.
All right, well, listen,
if I get sales and I don't have the tapes, that's not good.
Right.
That would be a difficult situation.
I got you. Well, we just wanted to call to say hi, that we like everybody fascinated by your story, and we wanted...
If anybody wants us to come out there and they know a way to get us out, we're willing.
Well, now listen, where are you in Pennsylvania?
We're in Reading.
What town is that? Is that by where do we broadcast in Pennsylvania?
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
We're on in suburban Pittsburgh, and we're on somewhere like in the Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Yeah, we've heard of there.
Well, listen, we'll get you girls down here. We'd love to have you come by on our show one day.
Where is this now?
We're calling from Washington, D.C.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we do a national show. It goes all over the country.
Yeah, we're close enough by.
Yeah,
what?
Sure.
What if we sent a nice limo to pick your girls up? How would that be?
Hey, that'd be fine.
Would you like that?
Absolutely.
Well, all right, hold on then. Rob, why don't you pick up and And book Dory and Lori for the show.
Dory and Lori, and with the country music career, that's great.
Hello, beautiful.
That would be very good publicity for my sister.
Well, listen,
on their live.
We'd love to have you come by, and this is our producer, RJ.
Yeah, bring the guitar with you.
All right.
And, Robbie, let's see if we can book them ASAP.
We will make it happen.
Okay. Thank you, Lori and Dory. We're going to leave you now.
You have our number.
Okay, hold on. Our producer's going to talk to you now.
Thanks, lady.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, now, who would have thought that the Siamese twins would be so fantastic personality-wise?
Yeah, they're very cool, and that's something we'd love to get them down here and, you know, listen to the music, get the guitar and the whole nine yards. That is, you know, we
head stare at them, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure they're used to that, 35 years, and,
wow.
You know, we're looking at the picture, and they are literally joined at the front of their head. It's amazing.
Yeah, one of them, the forehead goes into, like, the left side of the other one's face. I guess it's Dory who has more of her face showing in this picture, and Lori who
it's hard to tell with that photograph exactly, you know, what that looks like, but, man, that is, to live an entire life like that, there's some brave people. They really
just imagine trying to walk through your house. I mean, it probably took them a while to get that down path.
Listen, that would be the highlight of my 25 years in broadcasting.
Sure.
We finally get some Siamese twins. And they're Siamese twins with a personality.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great.
And maybe we could help them. Maybe we could catapult them to whatever the next level is that they want.
They've made the tape. They've got the songs on the tape. We'll sell some copies of the tape for them. That's fantastic.
Rob? Hey, come here, RJ. Come here, let me talk to the guy who picked a Marx Brothers movie for our blockbuster section.
Mm-hmm.
Come on in, Mr. Good Taste. So how do they seem?
They seem like they're up for it.
Yeah?
I'll start calling around and see if we can get a limo to go up there and get them.
That's what we ask. We can get a limo.
Well, come on, even if we have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Don't trade it out. Just get a limo. Let's pay for it. Bring it down here. Give them a good time. We'll give them a whole show.
That'll be fantastic.
A whole show devoted to Lori and Dory.
Man, that's great. And
Swing and Chappelle.
It's like the weirdest thing we've ever done. I think this is possibly the weirdest thing
it's
we've ever
creepy,
done.
Creepy, actually.
And they don't like Siamese twins, do they? They like conjoined twins.
Conjoined twins.
And the one that was doing most of the talking, that would have been Lori, right?
I believe. And it doesn't sing.
I have so many questions about their bathroom habits. And
sure.
Their feminine habits and what it's like with guys. And
sure. And they seem, at least this article that we're looking at, they're talking about men and relationships. Well, you heard Lori say she's had relationships with men before.
Yes.
Wow.
Dory's focusing on her music, though.
You just tell Jimmy the intern to calm down, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's just
climbing the wall.
Two girls at once.
Right.
All right, well, work that out, Rob. And don't waste time trying to trade out the limo. If you got to, just, pay for it yourself.
Sure.
We'll be back in a moment. Our thanks to Lori and Dory. Well, there you go.
Wow.
How long have we talked about wanting to have conjoined twins, and now
we got
them.
Yeah.
We've met them, and they've got a personality to boot.
And what a surprise. They had been on the Jerry Springer Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Question is, do I have a God complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. Or if you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis, and you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something. I am God.
The Don and Mike Show. If you could listen to them, would you? Don Geronimo and Michael Mara. Ooh.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
I found out. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I found out if I call Jim Garner's number, then I can get through so much easier. Have you got some kind of hookup deal with James Garner?
You mean one of those fancy phone numbers that he gives on TV?
Yeah, 10-10-9000. I try to get through somebody at a time, and I can't get through. But if I call James Garner's number,
yeah,
he goes right through.
Does this get bombed?
Sounds yeah like it. Have you had anything to drink today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, wonderful. How much have you had to drink today?
I'm trying to flush a kidney stone, about 8 beers.
About 8 beers. Why don't you just go see a doctor?
Okay, bud, I did that this morning.
You know, those beers might be the reason to get that kidney stone in the first place. Rob, no, it's true, Rob.
No,
I know, ignore your doctors.
And that's not the secret sound, incidentally, is a guy's kidney stone.
The secret sound is a flush.
Pardon me?
The secret sound is a flush for me.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for your participation.
Bye-bye. Thanks to James Garner, he was able to call the show.
That's right. He pays attention to his television as he's sitting there in the middle of the day getting drunk.
Those would be the ads that I now officially hate the most.
Right.
The ads for the come on to the one blah, 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 blah for long distance.
Sure.
And I saw the most annoying one ever last night with the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, French Stewart.
Oh, God, I
have you seen the one with him going in front of a lemonade stand where kids are selling lemonade for 99 cents?
Talk about your one-trick pony. I mean, a guy that is just doing the same thing. The funniest one I've seen recently is for some of the E-Trade ads are very, very funny.
Yes.
Including the one with the guy down by the pool, a guy that's a gigolo, and he's this good-looking guy.
Oh, when he says, when the woman says, rub my feet
between the toes. Jesus, that is great. That is really serious. And they don't go too far with the old lady, you know what I mean? They make her just ugly enough to make it almost realistic, and it's just, oh, man, that is fantastic.
She's plenty ugly for my money.
She's plenty ugly, but, you know, they just don't have the stereotypical.
And those feet.
Oh, yeah.
Those are some ugly feet. Between the toes, please. You see the look on his face, you know?
Tired of your job.
And furthermore, about the phone ads, I wish Dennis Miller wouldn't do those ads.
Yeah, that damages his credibility.
I know Dennis Miller needs money, although why at this point he'd need money, I don't know. The guy's written about 100 books. All of Dennis Miller's books are virtually the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And he's got a TV show.
How much do you think they pay him decent money for that the Dennis Miller Live show? I mean,
on HBO?
They got to be paying. But you
got to be making, what? Millions of dollars.
You know, what is the rule that the only people you find out about what they're getting paid are the people that are movie stars? When they're getting $20 million, you see that. But a guy like Dennis Miller, I'd love to know how much he's making.
You know how much some TV stars make? Like, you know how much ER makes?
Per episode, they make an incredible amount.
Friends makes per episode.
But, you know, that is in the realm of the commercial television. So you have to wonder about HBO and whether, you know, a lot of people that make these movies on HBO, the big stars, do so because they like the project. They don't do it necessarily for, you know, for the amount of money, because they don't get the same amount.
I would bet that Dennis Miller makes, how many shows a year does he have to do?
About 15.
I think that's about right, 13 to 20.
Could you imagine that, first off? Could you imagine having a job?
Yeah, we do 15
and
a half hours.
13 half hours.
Add it up. So that's add it up.
That's like two shows for us, Mike. That's like Monday and Tuesday.
I know.
I guarantee you, we ain't making no $1 million on Monday and Tuesday of this week.
I'd love to know that because, you know.
Rob, give me the number of HBO.
Let's find out what they pay Dennis Miller, because then we can get on his case a little bit more for doing those horrible, you know, 1-800 ads.
I would bet that Dennis Miller makes.
Are we doing by episode or a year?
No, for a year.
Yeah, it's better.
I'm going to bet per year. $3 million.
I'll say about 2.5. Just off the show, right?
Yeah, just off the show.
All right. I'll say $1.5 million.
And if any of those guesses are true, I will be blowing my head off on today's show. I will be committing suicide on the air if any of our guesses are true.
But there's certain other, you know, stars that get paid so much more money than that for, you know, for movies and things like that. It's very, that makes me a little more fresh. At least Dennis Miller gives us entertainment.
Wouldn't you love to call HBO and go, how much does Dennis Miller make? He makes $300 an episode. Beautiful.
That's fantastic.
That'd be more like it.
That would be very, very exciting.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don Mike Show, my brothers. What's going on?
Oh, don't mind. I don't want to talk to you every day, Tom. Knock
it off. He's going to be very, very upset. You know?
Well, you know, sometimes Tom calls.
I know, the bad time.
Too much. I mean, we're in the middle of a whole Dennis Miller thing, and Tom Gavin calls.
Yeah, you just don't want to push a monster around. You never know when he's going to, you know, can snap. Comes to you in the middle of the night. And that, to me, really, that is my idea of a true nightmare. That makes any of those Halloween, Friday the 13th movies.
Saving HBO, this is Steve.
Yes, hello, Steve.
Boy, listen to this voice.
Steve, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're doing a national radio show right now.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right.
How are things at HBO?
Oh, things are good here.
Hey, can I talk to somebody in payroll, please?
I don't know if you're going to catch anybody since it's almost 6 o'clock, but I will transfer you.
Well, no, okay, well, if I'm going to get voicemail, maybe you could help me out, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We're just having a discussion here on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
About how much Dennis Miller makes?
We're talking about the Dennis Miller show. And we were just having a big discussion about what he must make for that show, and where everybody's kind of confused as to what he's pulling down, because it hasn't really been publicized what he makes, or maybe it has and we haven't seen it, but we're just kind of trying to figure out what Dennis Miller makes for doing the Dennis Miller live show.
How much do you make?
I would have no idea.
All right, let me ask you something, Steve. What do you do there at HBO?
Answer the phone. I work the switchboard and I'm in communications.
Okay, so we had a guess of $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
$3 million
and 2.5 million.
And $2.5 million. Do you think any of those sound ballpark, or do you think he makes more than that?
It's hard to say for Dennis.
Just your opinion, Steve.
I mean, ballpark, I guess 2.5, 3, that could sound right, but it's really hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jesus Christ.
It's kind of like anchor person, you know, money.
Although they make seven now. $7 million a year.
I got another question for you about HBO.
Okay.
How come you're on that goddamn Babber the Elephant so much? I hate that. Every time I turn on HBO in the morning, it's that stupid elephant.
Babar.
Yeah, but you know how many people call and they want Babar on in the morning?
Mm-hmm. The kids like
love
the Babar.
Babar.
Right. They really like the Babar.
They love him, yeah.
And you know what else I hate? Paddington the Bear.
You're watching HBO at the wrong time.
Right. You see, it's the safe, well, nonviolent program.
See, I work in the afternoon and early evening, Steve, so morning is my prime HBO time.
Okay, well, maybe you need to be watching one of the other HBO channels.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
I've got them all, Steve.
Oh, really?
Steve, I'm not looking for trouble, but on that HBO Family, show something other than Annie, please.
Mm-hmm. He's just He's just the switchboard operator.
That's what he wants you to think.
Oh, I know he is.
You guys, y'all add the good cap to my day. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know, ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Steve, who has the right attitude. Based on greater intelligence than some of the people we've talked to today.
Steve, where are you calling from?
Hell. Hey, Steve, what do you think makes more? You think Chris Rock makes more or Dennis Miller? I got to think Chris Rock does.
I got to say Chris Rock is making more right now.
Definitely. You think Chris Rock's making $5 million a year from HBO?
I don't know, but I mean, with his movies and everything, he's definitely pulling in a lot more money than Dennis Miller right now.
How about Sarah Jessica Parker? There's another one.
Sex in the City.
My wife loves that show. I absolutely hate that show.
Steve, the creator of that show, Candace Bushnell, who created that show, how much do you think she gets per episode? A couple of hundred thousand, maybe?
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right.
Steve, what would you think about a guy who took that lady Candace Bushnell to the prom and didn't even get anything off her?
Yeah, that was me. That was me, Steve.
Didn't French kiss her, didn't feel her up, didn't get anything.
Steve, we went to the prom as friends, though. You see, and it was understood that we were going to go to the prom as friends, and then nothing happened. And then, you know, years later, I'm doing this radio show, and I see that she's a big famous writer that gets her, you know, her book turned into a regular series on HBO, and I always mention her name.
Who takes a girl to the prom as a friend?
I don't know.
I do, Don.
For me.
I do, okay.
You hear that? It would have been a first for Steve.
I know. Well, Steve's a studly guy. I guess I just didn't have things working at that point.
I don't know about that, fellas. Where are you calling from?
Really, we're in D.C. So, so Sarah Jessica Parker, she can't make nearly as much as Chris Rock or Dennis Miller, right? I'll give you a trivia question, Steve.
I'm listening.
All right, I got a prize for you. In what country did Sarah Jessica Parker's husband, Matthew Broderick, commit vehicular manslaughter? If you can tell me what country he drove a guy over in his car and killed him and got away with it with.
That subject came up when I was over there.
Okay.
You never forget, do you? Yes, that's the question, Steve.
And what's the prize?
I don't know. I'll give you you probably don't want this. I have a bunch of Chris Rock T-shirts to give away.
I got a bunch of them myself.
For the new HBO season.
He said Ireland. He had it.
Ireland.
He got it. We got to give him a prize now.
That's right.
Do we have any non-HBO prizes we can give?
Yes. I'll give you $100 at Planet Hollywood, okay?
Oh, now that sounds real good. Sure.
$100 to Planet Hollywood in celebration of Arnold Schwarzenegger's video collection. Available at stores everywhere. Planet Hollywood, always different, every time. Now playing a delicious new menu. How about that? So that
that little prick Matthew Broderick gets to go to Ireland, drive over a guy, kill a guy, and then he gets to come back here and be a movie star.
Isn't that something? In America.
I want to tell you something, Steve, you're a man of unique intelligence.
Absolutely. We got to give him...
Really?
We deal with so many people that blow us off all the time, and Steve hung in there with
Enjoyed speaking to you, Steve.
Hey, same here, fellas.
Okay, a final question. They're at HBO. Among people who are on the air, who's the biggest jerk coming in the front door?
I'm not touching that one.
I bet I know who it is. It's that dick who plays Arliss.
Robert Wool?
Right.
Robert Wool has been nice to us.
And
we didn't like his show. Wait a minute. We didn't like his show, but he's been a real nice guy. Even when we told him we thought his show sucked. Remember when he came on the show?
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. All right. I forgot that. He was so desperate. He kept coming on even when we told him we still didn't like his show.
Right. Absolutely. Right. He's a lot of things, but he's not a dick.
All right. I take it back. Can you tell us who's been, if not a member of the HBO family, who's been the biggest showbiz dick to you there at the front?
I can't even do that, fellas. Unless y'all got a job for me, you know?
Really? You ever see Kathy Lee?
Actually, no, I haven't.
I guess, I'll go the other way. Who's the nicest person that you have come in contact with that is a major star since you've been working at HBO?
Who's the nicest person?
Nicest person.
Oh, now that's a tough one, too, because actually most of the people that come through here
are just business types?
They really have pretty good attitudes. I mean, no, the stars come through, but pretty down to earth.
Pick one star that was very nice to you.
One star that was actually Chris Rock.
All right. Rock. Uh-huh. That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
We like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, good. So he's not a dick, right?
No, absolutely not. He's real cool.
That's cool. Good to hear.
That's great.
All right, thank you, Steve.
All right, very good.
Thank you. Hold on for your prize there, Steve. Hold on a second.
That's Steve from HBO. That fits the whole, HBO thing.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, Steve could be the new vice president of programming for HBO. He sounded very much like he knew what was going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Steve's the right guy for the job. Which means, I know only one thing. Steve won't be doing that job very long. because he's just, how many people we deal with are like, what? Huh? Hello? Those are the people that are lifers.
We have information about the cheese rolling.
Okay.
From Gloucester. Is that pronounced?
Yep, Gloucester. That's what I hear.
Gloucester, England. First Sunday in May is a unique opportunity to witness the ancient custom of cheese rolling. Well, it must be the last Sunday in May, because I just saw it on the news just today.
Yeah, and there was videotape that looked pretty fresh.
After rolling three double Gloucester cheeses around the church, one is cut up and shared by bystanders, and the other two are rolled down a steep hill.
I guess you got to pick the grass out of it, though.
Yeah. And what's the point of this? I mean, you have to see the tape of this, of these nutty British guys, where they're standing up on top of really what looks like a mountain, like something that would be a Mission Impossible 2.
I think what it is very similar to the running of the bulls. This is an opportunity for, a European country, people to do things foolish when they have lots of time on their hands.
But at least when you're running with the bulls...
Right.
As retarded as that is,
yes.
At least I can see that there's some logic there, that you're running away. There's a bull who's running after you,
right.
And your motivation is to run very fast so that the bull doesn't gore you. They're just taking a big wheel of cheese, rolling it down a steep hill and saying, go get it.
And the first guy that catches it, it's a race.
And what does the guy get, the first guy who catches it?
He gets the cheese and the respect of his peer group.
Right, well, we are going to call the police.
I'm not sure whether there's a cash prize. We'll have to ask when we speak to the Gloucester Police Department.
Find out if there's a cash prize.
Hello.
You get to keep the cheese. It's such a big wheel. It's such a big wheel. It will feed the family for years. It's a tradition, really.
Hello.
It's a bit of a ancient family tradition.
Hello, this is Flo from the Beach House.
Come on, I'm 22. I'm 22, I'll take you all on.
I'll give you a BJ. My name's Flo.
You want a BJ? Are you having me on? Are you having me on now?
Oh, buggers. They're not answering the phone.
Oh, bollocks.
No, we're getting nowhere in England.
Hey, it's nice to know. I just want to say, it's nice to know that in the UK, they can still give you the same runaround at police departments still around here. Go on.
Robbie, why don't you find me a number besides the police department. Right. Somebody besides the police.
Might be the cheese factory. Would it be like, Wisconsin, where I make the cheese.
Oh, yeah. The town we used to live in Wisconsin was good, Beloit, Wisconsin. They had a cheese factory right in the center of town.
That had to smell good.
And every summer, I swear to God, you would go downtown and it smelled rancid, like the inside of someone's jock strap. Because the cheese factory, no lie, a real cheese factory right. In the middle of Beloit, Wisconsin.
They had their renderings, right?
Yes, they would be making cheese.
Oh.
And every once in a while, if you were lucky, like on a Friday, you could pull up and you could buy some of their leavens.
Oh.
Some of the cheese leavens.
I bet it was good cheese.
Like for a dollar. You'd give them a dollar and they would just give you a bag
of leavens
that had assorted cheese leavens.
Oh, the best cheese ever.
The gentle, easy lifestyle.
Was it
Beloit, Wisconsin?
Was it gourmet cheese or was it the processed, you know, like big time cheese that you get like Kraft Singles?
No, I think it was, I'm pretty sure. You know, my brother would know, but I should just try to call my brother. I want to call my brother anyway about suing my parents.
I'd love to talk cheese. I mean, I know that you've spoken very fondly about your days in the cheese factory area.
Yes, in Beloit, Wisconsin.
And you guys would get free cheese a lot? Would you go down and get the free cheese?
You wouldn't get free cheese.
You'd get a dollar?
A dollar on Friday, and they would give you a paper bag, a brown paper bag that was full of cheese leavens.
Cheese leavens.
All right, let me see if my brother's at home.
Scary that it wasn't a clear plastic bag with a Ziploc. Probably smelled the same as Buzz's bag. There might have been a similarity there.
All right, although, who knows? Maybe my brother's at work right now. We'll just leave a message, have him call in.
The number you have reached, 36.
Okay, hold on. Maybe I misdialed.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to your brother, find out exactly what's going on. Give him a little moral support. Sounds like he had a bad day yesterday.
I never heard from him last night.
Mm.
Okay, let me see. Well,
the number you have reached, 36.
I don't know. You know him.
You think?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, dear.
Could be. He could have... Oh, hold on. I dialed the wrong number.
Good. Good.
I was going to say, he could have pulled a Rusty Ford on us.
It's out of service again. Mike, they turned my electricity off.
Or he had to change his number again.
It's our good old friend Rusty Ford. Oh, no.
Nope.
The number you have reached, 368.
Nope, that's it. Sorry. Number out of service.
It's been taken out of service?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, maybe he'll call in today.
Our old friend Rusty used to have his phone and electricity turned off almost every other month. And I remember one time I was walking up to his apartment when they had the big blue slip taped to his door.
Oh, damn. They did it again, Mike. Oh, what am I going to cook my beans on?
Remember how pissed Rusty would get? We used to do a bit on the show. We'd bet to find out if Rusty's phone was turned on or not. We'd all bet, and then live on the air, we'd call and see if we got the boop, 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 saying the phone number you've dialed is temporarily out of service.
And I swear to God, it seemed like, you know, there were periods of time when his phone would be turned on, but it seemed like every time you called that number, we got the
disconnected, temporarily disconnected because you didn't pay the bill.
He also got mad when we played that that old song, Just Got Paid.
Just Got Paid.
Friday night.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that the Gallagher brothers...
Yes, ma'am.
They're not twins, but they are brothers.
No, that's scary.
They're not twins, but they look exactly the same, don't they?
Kind of. The one brother that I think is copying the original grew his hair out and wears the same striped shirt. But when I read the magazine article, I don't remember. They're not twins, but they are brothers.
Well, Gallagher is bald outside of that hair that's on the side of his head that he's grown down to his shoulders, right?
I would think, wouldn't they have to look at least similar enough you couldn't tell the difference? Because doesn't Gallagher 2 go on the road and he doesn't say, hey, I'm Gallagher's brother. He says, I'm Gallagher.
He wears the striped shirt and the suspenders, and he wears that same driver's cap with the long hair. So when they're in costume and they're performing, even though they're not twins, they do look very, very much alike.
How do you know so much about Gallagher?
I read the same article this woman did. I believe it was in People magazine a few
weeks
ago.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Be honest. Be honest.
Okay, I travel with them. Okay,
no, he goes to the show.
Buzz is a fan.
Yes.
That's Buzz's favorite comedian. It's always a toss-up between Gallagher and Yakov Smirnoff.
And don't forget Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah.
All of Buzz's favorite.
Ray Stevens.
Not enough time.
Gigglemeisters.
We ought to compose Buzz's list of favorite comedians.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
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 I just wanted to tell you, that guy that you were talking about, the Jeff Van Gundy lookalike. Not dead. He's actually even got an infomercial on where he's selling either cookware, or he's doing something that, with some sort of a cooking infomercial. And
see, there's not. If you're going to contradict it, it's very difficult when you're not coming up with real information here.
Hey, Buzzy, ask Jeeves.
Okay.
What was the guy's name, Rob?
I don't remember his name.
Okay, I'm not. Hold on. Thank you. What's his name, Robbie?
Vincent Schiavelli. I think it's S-C-H-I-A-V-I.
All right, hang on just a second.
Go and ask Jeeves and find out if he's alive or dead.
S-C-H-I-A-V-E-L-L-I. I think I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is William.
Yes, hi, William.
I'm given to understand that you're looking on information on Gloucester's cheese roll.
Yes, we are, sir.
Yes. Well, I'm originally from the area. In the 1860s, the cheese roll was begun by Darby Smith. Now, he was more what you would call a pioneer in cheese roll. We don't have too many sports in the Gloucester area.
You don't believe this guy,
no,
Mike?
Not no, for a second. No, he's lying.
You don't believe either
it's a bad British accent.
No, I do have a bad British accent.
Yes, you do. It's terrible, my good man. It's not legitimate.
Well, it's from Washington, D.C. now, unfortunately. I've been in D.C. for the past 4 years.
Yes, of course.
Are you having us on?
Having you on? No, we haven't used that in years of an England. I'm sorry.
Oh, buggers, I believe that Mike busted you.
Yes, I believe you're jerking our chain and that the conclusion of this diatribe would result in some sort of D's nuts.
He's rubbed us up.
No, not at all.
Or perhaps... Perhaps one of those Joseph Mother calls.
Of course, that's exactly where he's going with this.
Well, perchance, yes.
Yes, not perchance.
Yes, absolutely.
You have busted me. Please do not leave my phone number today.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, all right. Yeah, bye, see ya.
That's terrible.
Bah.
Yes, I know, in the 1860s, you see.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Don?
Yes, hi.
Gallagher's brother, Gallagher 2,
yes.
He is a huge fat guy. Gallagher is more Moses-like than Gallagher 2.
All right. You know, we're going to have to get a picture of both Gallagher so we can decide for ourselves.
It's amazing. You know, in the Internet age, it is truly amazing. You know, we can find out the questions that would previously go unanswered. We can find out instantaneously.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike, Buzz. Hi, it's Frank from Germantown. How's it going?
Yes, hello, Frank.
Quick note for Buzz. To get a like status on Vincent Schiavelli, go to a website, International Movie Database.
That's a good one. Try that one, Buzz.
Okay.
It's imdb.com.
Hey, Robbie, okay. I'm afraid we need the Father Time music. Oh, Rob is not. Look at that. Rob has actually left his meal in the back of the room. That's how busy he is today.
Unattended.
Okay. Hold on. And
this is giving Buzz a little extra time.
There's the music.
Now, is that with the W's?
Yes, www.imdb.com.
No, Buzz, it's sans W's.
Actually,
everything's with W's,
no,
right?
No, it isn't. No, my website's not.
Your website?
Right.
What, your personal website?
Well, my business one, you know, for my other stuff.
It doesn't start with www?
Mm-hmm.
What does it start with?
http://?
Right, and then just right into the name. A lot of new websites are doing that because they're running out of addresses.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, more or less.
But if you want on a, couldn't you type in www dot and then whatever your website is, and it would still come up?
I haven't actually tried that, but maybe. But a lot of these search engines now are really smart about that.
I just love the energy whenever we do this little experiment.
Okay, I have a movie database. Now I'm looking for Vincent Schiavelli, or Schiavelli, as this guy pronounces it.
All right, and of course, at the same time, Charles Broyhill's come into our studio, and he is firing up our computer since he is now in a race with you, Buzz, to see who can download this the fastest.
Oh, I didn't know it'd be a race.
What was the other information we were trying to get? There were two.
A picture of the Gallagher brothers.
The Gallagher brothers, right.
A picture of both of them. All right, hold on.
Especially if there's, you know, the guy claims that the one Gallagher is super turbo fat.
Charlie Broyhill still trying to look for the name. Thank you. We're on it. Thank you, Frank.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
I'm to his listing now. What did you want to know about him?
Whether he's alive or dead.
Okay. His birth date.
What you're hearing now, ladies and gentlemen, this is confident Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
This is Buzz way out in front.
Now, initially, how did we find out he was dead? Did you read it somewhere that he was dead?
I said it.
Oh, you said it. So you
said it.
But you didn't...
Everything I say, it could be right or it could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure somebody told me that guy was dead.
Okay.
I was talking to somebody over the weekend and saying how much that actor looked like Van Gundy when I was watching the Knicks game.
And then somebody said he's dead.
He's dead.
Hmm.
I had thought I'd heard the same thing also. I see here that his wife is no longer with us, but they don't mention that he's passed, which makes me think maybe he's still alive.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, buddy.
Hello. Hey, buddy.
Not that I am like Johnny of all trivia on Vincent Schiavelli, but I do know about four or five movies he was in, and I believe he's alive.
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, wasn't he?
He was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was in Night Shift with Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. He was the guy that rubbed mustard from Henry Winkler's sandwich on his doorpost.
Yes.
He was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right, that one we figured out.
And I do believe he was married to Miss DePesto from Moonlighting.
And I think Rob had that also. Thank you, my friend. Really, no new information there.
Now, this is very obscure, but I'm going to bring it up because it's a similar type of guy. There was a similar type of guy. He didn't have any hair.
He's alive.
But he was the long, bald guy.
Who's
he's alive? Vincent Schiavelli's
Vincent
alive?
Schiavelli, yeah. He's made movies as recently as this year. He was
all
in
right.
Three Strikes, An American Saint. Last year, he was in Man on the Moon.
Charlie Broyhill has just pulled up the exact same website. He was also in Baggage. He was also in Prince and the Surfer. There's no picture, Mike. It's just it's
you
just
do. That's why I was coming over, right?
That's why you're looking. There's no picture.
Tomorrow,
you know,
Tomorrow Never Dies, Blade Runner.
All right, then he must still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is alive.
And the teacher he played was Mr. Vargas.
In Fast Times at Ridgemont.
Mr. Vargas. Perfect with the heart.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
With an estimated completion date of January 1995. The rest.
No. So the plan, if I may, was to complete Hank's Look Around Cafe on August 23rd, this year. That's my birthday. Can't move my birthday back. What else does my jackass business manager have to say?
Mr. Kingsley, restaurants rotate when they are at the top of buildings. Your place is at street level. There is no view.
He does not get it. You see, the point is, it's not the view. The point is, when you eat at Hank's, you and your food are going on an adventure.
Maybe you should just forget the rotating floor and get the place going.
Forget the rotating floor. Come on, take a mess. Come on. Well, sir, thank you. But I am a visionary, so I'd like you to take your opinion and shove it right up your ass. Regards, Hank Kingsley. Fax that back to him.
But he's saying you don't have enough money to make it rotate.
Fine. Then I will get investors. It so happens I am on a first-name basis with some of the most influential, some of the most powerful people in this business. So, get Chuck Woolery on the phone.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear what Joe Arger was telling me out in the hallway just a minute ago?
Yes, about Scott the Dwarf.
He's got a TV commercial. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. It's for one of the dot-coms. But when you walked in, he finished the story that apparently Scott the Dwarf goes to an amusement park, tries to get on a roller coaster, but they won't let him on because he's too short. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on a website and types in angrydwarves.com and rustles up all the little people. And they go back to the amusement park and they shove people out of the way and they get on. I don't know how big a commercial, if this is a national commercial.
As I'd like to believe that,
yes.
I say take the Ardinger factor.
That you, are you thinking
account.
What I'm thinking, that maybe it's just another dwarf?
You know, listen, they all look the same. No offense to Scott. You know.
If Scott's listening, you know, he'll be angry and he'll call in and let us know. And if he's not angry at you for saying that, he'll be angry at Joe for getting it wrong, that it was not that it was not Scott on that commercial.
I would think if Scott, the angry argumentative dwarf, had starred in a commercial,
especially if it's a national commercial,
for a .com,
right,
he would have told us about it.
Yeah, and you know, then we were discussing, Joe and I were discussing how just incredibly hot Scott the Dwarf must be, and Joe told me he's the bomb, and then we giggled and we walked away.
I'd like to know how high Joe was when he was watching TV. Hey, Joe!
We're going to have another appearance on the show of Mr. Joe Ardinger.
Joseph Ardinger, our favorite Joe.
He's wearing one of his dress-up T-shirts today. You know? And this little cut above his normal fare.
All right, where's radio's Joseph Ardinger? Here, we can't find him? All right.
Oh, we must find Joe. He just arrived.
Well, he's...
Probably out in his car.
Hey, Buzz, you know where he is, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Getting ready for the show. All right, well, when you find Joe, bring him in. In the meantime, we're going to try to call Cuba.
Okay?
Cuba! Because I'm just like everybody. Oh, here he is. Here's Joseph Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger.
Hey.
Joe, I was passing along that fascinating story you were telling me about Scott the Dwarf. And,
right.
And Don and I are both a little suspicious.
Are you sure it was Scott and not some other dwarf?
Yeah, I was very sure. In fact, Brian Cosgrove was sitting there with me, and he's the one who ID'd him first.
Is he your credibility source,
sure.
Cosgrove?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Were you guys of sound mind and body at the time you were watching?
I was only on my fourth beer.
All right, Joe. So you swear to that. Did that Scott the Dwarf?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't bring it up earlier today.
All right, thank you. Joseph Ardinger.
Hmm. Boy, if it's true, Scott the Dwarf just incredibly hot.
He's blowing up.
Yes.
Our favorite Joe Ardinger.
There goes Joe.
All right, now listen, about Cuba.
Yes.
Caesar's about Cuba. I know we talked about Alien and the Fishermen for about a half hour earlier today.
Right.
But the one thing I've not heard anybody do is try to call somebody in Cuba to ask them if they give a rat's ass about Elian Gonzalez.
Interesting. I'd like to do that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are a number of people in Cuba. We might get lucky that speak English, and we can maybe find out.
Well, we researched. We found a hotel.
A hotel.
It says, elegance and hospitality are to be found in this hotel in the heart of Savannah, and they speak both Spanish and American.
Is it Savannah or Havana?
What did I say? Savannah, Havana.
All right. Well, this will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I always like it when we get international. We succeeded with France last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we can do with Cuba. Really find out how they feel if it's playing out. Well, it's probably bigger over there than it is over here.
Well, you know, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, for them, it's all propaganda.
They're very angry at us.
You know, I heard their TV shows don't start. Like, the TV doesn't turn on until 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Oh, that's got to suck.
And if they interrupt the cartoons. Hello?
Do you hear me?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? Am I calling Cuba?
Yes, this is Cuba.
Yes.
What do you need?
What I need is, what do you think about Alien?
Alien Gonzalez.
Who's speaking?
This is Don and Mike. We're doing a radio show from the United States.
What do you think of Alien?
What are your feelings on the subject? Hello?
Can you give me some cigars?
Yeah, there's the real reason we have to go to Cuba. We're going to have to make a lot more calls now.
Okay, hold on.
See, I do not care. Here's the dream scenario for you, isn't it? I do not care at all about Elian. I will send you 18 boxes of the finest Cuban cigars for $1.
And the call's deductible.
That would be a fringe benefit there. And then you could write it off because it was part of the show.
Part of the show. Now let's call back. Maybe we'll get a different guy. Maybe he's not allowed to comment.
That might be, you know, it's a repressive society. At least that's what we're told.
Hello?
Hello?
Hola. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Pardon?
Yes, we're calling from America from the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Yeah?
Yes. How do you feel about Elian Gonzalez?
How I feel?
Yes, how do you and the Cuban people feel about what's going on with...
My personal opinion.
Yes, see.
Yes, if you're allowed to have one. What is it?
He has to come back urgently, you know?
Urgently? Why urgently?
Yeah. Why?
Yes, why?
Because this is his country.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Can you get me some cigars?
If I... What?
Can you get me some cigars?
You might want to specify the brand.
Monty's. Monty number 2.
Monte Cristo's.
Trinidad. Cohiba. Punch.
Hoyo de Monterrey.
Where you can find it.
Romeo and Juliet. Can you get me
what
some?
What do you need to know? Where you can find it?
No, I need you to get me some and smuggle them into this country. Could you give me a box of Cohibas and smuggle them in your underpants for me?
No, I can't.
I need a box of Cohiba Robustos. I need them immediately.
How many pesos would that be? Or is peso the currency over there?
Oh, I don't know.
How many?
I don't know, but you can call to the National Hotel. They have a cigar store there.
They're illegal in this country, so you have to smuggle them. How many boxes of cigars would you trade me Elian Gonzalez for If I gave you the boy, how many boxes of cigars would you give me?
Hello?
I believe
you seem to push his hot button with that.
And he's gone.
He is a boy. He is not worth cigars. He's much worth much more than that.
The offer disgusted him.
I would have held out for that number at the National Hotel. You could have called directly into the cigar store.
Well, I know the number of plenty of cigar stores in Cuba.
Thank you for calling, Mr. Geronimo. We will load up the cigars in a private plane. We will sneak them into the country. We will fly them directly to your house in Virginia. Gracias, and thank you for your sentiments about the boy. I think you have a better chance. Hello?
Hola. Hola. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Dígame.
Great phone quality down there.
Hey. I have a lot of work, okay? I can give you an interview right now because I'm working right now, okay?
How about one little interview?
Hello?
No, I can't, okay?
How about one tiny little interview?
Yeah.
And he's gone.
There you go.
And he's gone.
Hafana.
Named after Sam Huff.
Boy, poor kid. Now I feel bad for the kid going back.
Sure.
Sam Huffana.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. He came out on the short end of the stick.
This is Sam Huff.
The new dictator of Cuba.
That's right. That's what's going to happen when they finally go Democratic. They're going to change Havana to Huffana.
Vote for Sam Huff.
And Sam Huff will be the leader of Cuba.
Sam Huff would make a good dictator. Is that really in his book?
Yeah, he was a congressman, and his slogan was, Sam Huff will make a good congressman.
That was his slogan. Sam Huff would make a good congressman.
We're telling it like it is. No need to overthink it, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike, you crazy bastards.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
You're the funniest bastards I've ever listened to.
I love being a funny bastard.
I know, you guys really are. I'm calling from Tehachapi, California, and my son and I were coming back from the L.A. area. We had a job to do over there.
My son and I were at the plushie convention.
How did you know we were plumbers?
No,
we
said
we are plumbers.
You're plumbers.
Yeah, we're plumbers.
Is the crack of your butt showing right now?
No, mine's not that way, but my son's is.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Really?
Hey, we were coming back, and we were listening to your show, and we were just cracking up. It was the one when you had Dumb Bastard in there. That
Dumb
was the
bastard.
Funniest show I've ever heard. We get home and we're telling my
Some
wife.
Some might say we're doing that show right now.
we're telling my wife about, my son and I were telling my wife about these crazy bastards that did the Dumb Bastard show. And she's quite overweight, but she's on a diet of losing weight. So she named herself Fat Bastard. She named me Angry Bastard, named my son Horny Bastard. We named Grandma that lives with us Old Bastard, and the cat Lazy Bastard.
It's the Bastard family.
Yeah, the Bastard family, yeah. Now, when are you going to do that show again?
I don't know.
When are you going to do that
Thank
again?
Thank you, though. When your wife loses the weight.
Yeah, there you
go. Okay, she'll start losing right now, 1 pound a day.
1 pound a day, all right.
Yeah. Hey, that was tremendously funny, though.
Well, thanks for calling, you bastard.
You bet. Take care, you bastards.
Right. Bye-bye. Hello. David.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I fear I'm going to disturb you, but that Scott the Dwarf commercial is real.
How do you know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Well, he's identified as Scott the Dwarf. They actually put his name at the bottom of it.
Really? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Scott is just so non-helpful to this show. Mm-hmm. Hate to say that. But, you know, he calls that one time, and then we really want some information from him.
I think
he would have mentioned it.
I think it was on MTV or something like that, but it was a .com, and it's real.
Wow.
All right, can you describe him?
Little guy.
He's short,
told you.
Yeah, how's that for helpful?
Beard? The same.
Beard? No, Scott doesn't have a beard, does he?
Sometimes he does.
Yeah. And, no, I mean, I wasn't really observing him for purposes of describing.
What color was his hair?
Dark.
No.
No, not Scott. Scott has
a
very light.
They have an artificial Scott the Dwarf.
Well, Joe, okay, does Joe even know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Good question. I don't know.
God,
Scott. Are you talking about Joe Ardinger?
Yeah, does Joe, was he here when Scott the Dwarf was here?
I think Joe was here last year.
But the guy's got dark hair. I mean, it's not Scott the Dwarf. Scott is a blonde.
The last time Scott the Dwarf was here was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Just over a year ago, for St. Patrick's Day.
His current pictures have him blonde with no facial hair.
Yeah, but the last time Scott was here, he also had dyed green hair. That could throw Joe off.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. Is this Don or Mike?
Yes, it is.
Hi,
I wanted you to know, I went to West Virginia over the weekend to see my parents.
Yes.
And I wanted, somebody had run over a rabbit in the road, and somebody had put an Easter basket beside it and ran over it, too. And it was just laying in the road.
All right, thank you, honey.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Margot Kidder calling the show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm just calling to Don and Mike had the bacon.com for Kathy Lee. What was that website?
First of all, you're talking to us.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. What was that website for Kathy Lee?
Eatme.com.
There it is, eatme.com, sir.
Oh, that was not it.
No, when you're on the radio.com.
There you go.
Okay.
Payattention.com.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
.com.
Another friend made.
Friend of Scott the Dwarfs.
Another friend made .com. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm losing you.
Yes.
What did he say? I'm losing
you. I'm losing you.
I'm losing me. And he is. Hello, last call. Don and Mike.
Hey there, boys.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I got to fill you in. Frida's not being honest about that dream.
Her orgasm dream?
I was in that dream. I was like a cheesy director. She came to New York to visit you on your little show there. And the two guys was that bench coach, Don Zimmer for the Yankees, and the manager.
Joe Torre.
Joe Torre.
Joe Mama! Oh, no.
He knows how to do it.
He knows how to give a diversion, doesn't he?
He sucks us right in.
He gets us on a subject that he knows
God
we are interested in. That is too good.
Oh, that guy's good. Oh, I hate that guy. I truly hate that
manager
guy.
And every time he says, do you know how many times he's done manager of the Yankees? And I go, Joe Torre.
Joe Mama. Mama.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fellas, if you're going to talk dirty to your woman, you got to talk with authority. You don't get a woman to do any nasty little thing you want. You say that like a man, make a little eye contact, put a little bass in your voice, she will do that. Your woman is nastier than you ever imagined. But you got to come correct, because anything you mumble ain't getting done. You can't be in bed all unsure, like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, I was wondering, a man might have a request, could you lick my balls? Huh? I ain't licking nothing. Lick your own balls. See, if you'd have said it right, you'd have been in there. Now you got dry balls. I don't like to choose, which is bugs. I get my head cut on the cow. I ain't never been in the barber shop and heard a bunch of brothers talking about Jews. Black people don't hate Jews. Black people hate white people. We don't got time to dice white people up in a little group. I hate everybody. I don't care if you just got here. Hey, I'm Romanian, you Romanian cracker.
Don and Mike Show. Even better than a nice hot bowl of nasal bisque. The Don and Mike Show.
We want to bring on a very special guest via satellite.
Wow.
This is a Don and Mike Show exclusive. I don't know if you heard about this. Friday night in New York, Michael Jackson did this concert.
Right.
And in essence, here's what I'm hearing from the newspaper. Okay, that he starts the show. Rob, get the satellite stuff ready. He starts the show.
Right.
He brings out big, fat Marlon Brando,
mm-hmm. yeah.
who sits in a chair in the middle of the stage.
Sure.
And people actually, after a while, start booing Marlon Brando.
Well, they boo him about the content, I guess, of what he's saying. You know, he's saying some very controversial stuff.
Well, he's talking about how kids are abused and how Michael Jackson is such a great guest. Like, Michael Jackson's never done anything to a kid.
Right. Huh.
And you can go to michaeljackson.com. And then apparently Whitney Houston, who looks like Karen Carpenter now.
That's right.
Gee, I wonder what could bring that on.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out and she looks awful. And Michael Jackson at one point goes and sits in a box like he's in the movie Gladiator. And
right.
He's sitting up there with that old bag, Elizabeth Taylor, and he's blowing...
With her feather boa.
He's blowing air kisses to people. Oh, and Macaulay Culkin, his boyfriend, of course, is in the box with him. He's got Elizabeth Taylor and Macaulay Culkin sitting in the box with him. Michael Jackson sat stiffly in a glittery white jacket, blowing occasional kisses to the loyal subjects who were performing for him. A freakishly made-up Liza Minnelli performed a melody of show tunes.
You always know when they give you a review and put the word freakish in there that you're doing well.
I had Britney come out and sing The Way You Make Me Feel. NSYNC came out, and then they did the stupid We Are the World. But to hear the way the show was done, there were long stretches between the appearances. Actually, Michael with his brothers, which is what everybody wanted to see, was a very small part of the show. And
should have been a big part of the show.
And whoever, just let me say, whoever told Gary Condit to go on television with Connie Chung, it's the same firm that advised
right.
Michael Jackson to do this concert.
Wow.
I mean, it was awful, but that's just me. Let's see if we can turn on the Michael Jackson satellite. Here we go. And I'm supposed to get some kind of feed. I think he's still up in the New York City area now. Let's see if we can go. Hello, Michael. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
This is Michael Jackson.
Don Geronimo.
Michael Jackson.
Don Geronimo, I am, I'm here via satellite, and they told me you wanted to talk about my concert. Come on.
And I'm also reading now that after the concert,
yes,
Michael Jackson went out, he went to Tavern on the Green.
Right.
We went to Tavern on the Green, and they set up a circus tent for all of my freaky friends.
They went to Tavern on the Green, mm-hmm. and while everybody else was sitting around having their dinner and their drink,
right, yes.
Michael Jackson sat there with a bunch of 10-year-old kids.
I love children. I think it's important to share with you that I relate better still, even though I'm 40, to children than I do. But can I say thank you to Marlon and Liz and Liza and so many good friends. Sophia Loren was there. It was just such a wonderful thing. And I put on extra pancake makeup for this event. And it was great to be working with all these wonderful artists. And we could help do good.
Let me ask
That's
you a question.
That's my goal. We could help do good. That's my most important thing.
When you were up in that Roman Emperor's box?
Yes.
Be able to cop a feel with your old girlfriend, Macaulay Culkin?
Yes, he was wonderful.
Were you able to...
Macaulay, you know, got married and then divorced, and Macaulay, and I think married and divorced again, and Macaulay maybe three times. But he's so good to me, and five times, yes, I think it was five times, and he was up there, and I he said, sing me my favorite song, and so I whispered in his ear, and I said, Ben, the two of us. And then I said, Macaulay, while the show's going on, is there a chance that I could massage your thigh? Just like I used to, please. And then maybe I could take a little trip higher. Remember when we did that at the Neverland Ranch and I'd let you play with my llamas and then I'd take you back to my room and we would have such a good time. Shaman. And you know, he remembered. He's so sweet. He remembered. He said, that's great.
And weren't you surprised when you actually started that trip through Macaulay's pants and you discovered that...
There's nothing there. No, there was nothing there. It was smooth.
Oh, he had no hair?
No parts.
Oh, he has no genitals?
I thought there'd be something there that was completely smooth. He's done something awful. Or he had it tucked away.
Maybe,
I know is he was smooth, and there was nothing there. I couldn't feel anything.
Maybe he does that thing that guys do when they want to act like they got a...
I think so. Yeah, they tuck it. I do that.
Or they tuck it...
Shem on.
Tuck it between their legs.
Billy Jean is not my lover. Sometimes I'll tuck it in all the way back. And I'm smooth, too, down there.
Back to the Duke, you mean?
Back to the Duke. I'll tuck the baggage. The luggage will be back to the Duke. The elephant trunk goes back to the Duke. So that I can look that way. And it gives me more... It helps me moonwalk better, too. Did you like the show?
Oh, I didn't... I don't have $2,500 to buy a ticket to your stupid show. I'm going to wait till it's on TV.
You weren't there? You didn't come?
No, I was not there.
Oh, I wish you'd come.
Why?
I like everyone to come. I really do. Slash was there. You like rock and roll?
From Guns N' Roses?
And the boys from NSYNC were there, and Britney, and...
Which of the guys from NSYNC?
I'm so happy.
Which of the guys from NSYNC would you like to jump? To jump the bones of the most?
Justin.
Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake, you know.
What would you do to him?
I was talking to Britney. I was asking questions. I said, when he wears his hair in cornrows, do you like it as much as when he wears it all frizzed down? Or do you like it when it's shaved clean, when he's kind of like bald? Or do you like... How do you like him? And she said, I like the cornrows because they can run my fingers over. And as she was talking, I became visibly aroused.
You did.
I did. I would like them all, though. I would love to see them all. I heard you talking about Billy Crystal a moment ago. I would like to have the NSYNC boys do to me. What those Yankees did to Billy Crystal.
Oh, you would like to be on the training table at Yankee Stadium?
Oh, not necessarily at Yankee Stadium. I would do it in my trailer. They could come into my trailer and do that, each one of them, one at a time, singing their favorite pop hits.
Aren't the guys?
No, I'm the king of pop.
Aren't the guys in NSYNC a little old for you now?
That's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm getting older, too, and so I'm trying to really... I'm going now for more late teens, early 20s boys. That's really what I like now. And maybe when I'm in my 50s, I'll be going for the more 25 to 30-year-old boys, and then in my 60s, 30 and 35-year-olds. And then when I'm 70 and 80, I can date regular Hollywood leading men.
So right now, Michael Jackson, who is the hottest boy... In your opinion, who is the boy that you would most like to spend quality time with at the Netherland Ranch?
Oh, that is such a hard question for me. I love
Why, what about
movie.
The kid from The Sixth Sense?
That's what I was just going to say. Thank you for that. I loved him. He's wonderful. What's that quirky little name he's got?
Haley Joel Osment?
Haley Joel Osment. He's fantastic. But who is the little boy in Jerry Maguire? You know the one that said the F word?
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh, he was in Stuart Little, too.
Oh, absolutely. He's wonderful. I think he's really talented. We could do good work together. Oh. That's what I say, you know. We could do good work together. I'd really love to do that. And there's so many wonderful children in commercials that I don't even know their names.
They like, who do you like?
Oh, they're just wonderful. I'm trying to think of the little boy. What is his name? He's got a name on the show. Well, of course, Mikey. Mikey from Life Series.
I guess for you on Saturday morning when they run the cartoons and stuff, that's like porno stuff. Are you right when they run the commercials?
Well, they have such wonderful commercials when they're trying to sell toys and candy that I really enjoy watching. I really enjoy watching the commercials. And then sometimes if I'm really motivated, I'll call the advertising agency and I'll say, the King of Pop would like to say a special personal thank you. Send that boy out to the Neverland Ranch and his parents will approve. And sometimes, you know, they do.
Sometimes yeah. they do.
And when they do, we have fun. And if things get too complicated, we settle out of court.
Yeah, of course you do.
Shimmel!
Now, this concert,
yes.
you did this thing for the money, right? Because Buzz had something on the news, you're almost broke?
Well, someone said to me a long time ago, Michael, wouldn't you like to have a tribute? And I said, I don't need a tribute. I'm satisfied with just my friends. I don't like to go out in public unless I'm going to perform. But they said, you're the king of pop. And I said, I am the king of pop. And Liz, she came to me and she said, Michael, we had a tribute for you. That's the way she
said. Now, you never do nothing with her, right?
Oh, yes.
You do stuff. I mean, you know what I mean?
We have regular intercourse.
You have intercourse with Liz.
With Liz Schemmel.
With Liz
yes. yes, she enjoys it. And I do, too. I like very old or very young. You see, no one in between. And Liz is just terrific. We do it all sorts of different ways. But, you know, she's not as spry as she used to be. So normally it's basically Liz lying on her stomach.
Oh, so you... You
I do
her.
All the work.
You mount her.
Yes, I do. Like a puppy dog. In fact, that's what she calls me, her little puppy. And I kind of howl. I'll go, ow, ow, like a little bitty puppy, and she enjoys that too. And then we both use her feather boa.
Oh.
Her feather boa goes in me.
Oh.
And then I pull it out. Shamon. I enjoy that. I truly do.
Do your brothers hate you?
Yes. Especially Tito.
Tito
and Jermaine.
Why does Tito?
And Marlon hates me, too.
Why do they all hate you so
because
much?
Because I'm more successful and talented, and which I've always said. I said to them one day, and they got very angry at this, and I don't understand why they got angry, because I sat them down, and I said, Marlon, Tito, Jermaine, let me explain to you right now. I'm more talented and more successful, but that's not a reason to hate me. And then they kicked me out.
What about Janet? How do you get along with Janet?
I love Janet. My baby sister is just such a good... My baby sister is so talented, and she's really following in my footsteps, and I couldn't be happier. I'm very happy that she's having the success that she has. And she tries, you know, her management team says, Janet, keep your distance from me.
Yes, I do. And wisely so.
I still speak with her on the telephone, although they do not allow me to see her.
They don't allow you to see her.
But Latoya is a sea.
Oh, no. See you in Toledo?
Yes, she is a giant sea. I hate her, and I wish she was dead.
You do? You wish
she was
dead?
She's been very cruel to me, and I will be cruel back to her. I would like to see some horrible fate befall her.
You would like
I
what?
I would indeed.
Like what?
I would like to see her eaten by my llamas. Even though they're not... They're passive creatures that don't normally dine on human flesh.
Don't you got some tigers? Couldn't you call your queer friends...
Who are those boys in Las Vegas?
Oh, Siegfried and Roy. Oh, I've been to their show dozens of times. They're so wonderful and talented. I'd like to maybe see if some of their little tigers could chew on LaToya, eat her eyes. Because I'm very angry at her. No, not God. No, just LaToya. She angers me. She truly does.
You know, a lot of people were very upset, saying that the show was a ripoff, that you were just doing it for money. You're going to turn it into a TV show later.
Oh,
and,
no.
And what, Michael?
But just a moment.
What's wrong?
My nose fell off.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Had to happen.
Oh, where is it? It fell down onto my chair.
Why don't you look you look at Haley Joel Osment's dude?
Hold on. I haven't met him yet. I haven't had a chance to hide it. Oh, here it is.
Where's your nose at?
Oh, let me just... I have to place it back on. It's okay. Got clips. Shimon, I'm back. I'm sorry. Sometimes that happens. I'm not in my full makeup because I'm doing the satellite interview from my private room.
So how do you look when you're not wearing a full makeup?
Oh, I could describe myself to you.
Yeah, please do, since I can't see you.
Well, right now, I don't have my foundation makeup on, so I am not that pale white color that you like so much. And
are you kind of Negro-y now?
No. Stop it. You're going to make me angry.
You are a Negro.
Yeah, I don't like labels. Please don't give me a label. Please stop
that. But you are a Negro.
Give me a label. I have my nose that's fastened by two clips. And I'm trying to breathe as best as I can.
But you want to be white, right?
I am completely bald.
What do you mean? You're wearing a wig?
I have a wig. Oh. I have a wig that I am not wearing right now, and I have blue veins on top of my head. They're snake-like. I'm hideously disfigured. But when I put it all together, I can still really beat it.
And this is something, all these things, the snake veins in your head, this is because of the surgery you had done?
Many surgeries. I can tell you, this is the show where they said, be honest and tell the truth. I'm addicted to plastic surgery.
Well, yeah, no, that's your lie.
I've had so much done. I really have. And I'll continue to have things done. I really will. My goal is to really, by the end of 2001, I really want to look like Nicole Kidman. Or Carrot Top. I'll take either one. Shamel.
Let me, I know they're playing the music, we gotta get you out of here, but here's a quick, who would you do? Who would you do, Michael Jackson? Who would you do, Nicole Kidman or Carrot Top?
Oh, you're really putting me in a quandary. Well, I think Carrot Top would be more fun.
Carrot Top, right.
He's got that big bag of tricks. He's got that little toilet seat that's a TV screen. I love his show. He's so talented. And Nicole Kidman, I just want to look like her. I don't want to have sex with her.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Isn't there another show this week, or is it...
One tonight, as a matter of fact.
Show tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we'll be doing great things tonight, and I'm looking forward to having Liz and Marlon and Liza and all my good friends there, because I have so many celebrities in Hollywood that still think I'm a good guy. They're not like the general public who think I'm a nasty pedophile.
And how dare the nasty public think that about you?
I wish they could get to know the real me when my nose is attached.
Okay. Michael, thank you for being so honest.
Thank you, Don. Shimon.
Shimon to you.
Shimon. Oh, yeah. Oh, my nose fell off again.
All right, now listen. Why don't we just put the mic in audition and see if it's possible that we can just spy on him, see what he says when he thinks he's off the air.
Liz? Liz, how do you think I did?
You did all right.
Thank you. I love you, Liz.
I love you, Michael. Great show, Michael. I love you, Michael.
I love you, Liz. Do you like to lie on your stomach now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to turn this off. So this is starting to get hot again. Cut the feed.
Had to cut.
Just cut the feed.
Wow, what's going on there?
Nothing was happening there.
Amazing.
There's a Billy Crystal moment happening there.
That's truly amazing.
Okay, well, there you go. Exclusive interview with Michael Jackson.
The king of pop, though.
There he is. King of pop, my ass. Yeah, we got a break. We'll be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.